about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Hi, I'm Zach Braff, and Chris Cornell's voice gives me a boner.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
People write about what they want to write about. You know, I like to sing about America, about God, country, you know. I like to sing about my grandma going to jail. You know, things that mean something to me.
Perfect. It was perfect. Not too long, not too short. Right on the money. Just like we rehearsed it.
That head wound has got to be taking its toll because you are making zero sense.
And now. I was in a band back in the day.
Oh, yeah? What was the band?
The band was Back in the Day. I was in a band Back in the Day. The name of the band was Back in the Day.
Our feature presentation.
That's so confusing.
Who's on first?
Hey, party people. Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Thursday, the 25th of April. Lisa, how are you?
I'm walking a lot, getting ready for a Saturday.
Are you? Yes, Lisa and I are doing this walk to raise awareness and money for organ donation. And are you a regular walker? Is that something
all
you do besides just taking a boner out to pee?
I do. I am a regular walker, but I don't usually walk 3 miles a day. I walk,
right,
you know, like two. So I've been making Boner go with me, but I end up having to carry him, which I think is good training. So even if I don't walk the 3, you know, it's like a marathon. You train. You don't train for the whole way.
Exactly,
you train for like 2/3, right?
Yeah, you leave something in the tank.
Exactly. So
yeah,
I figure Boner is my extra training.
Well,
so to speak.
Boner is the extra weight I'm carrying around when I'm going on my walks too.
I'm gonna slow you down.
I probably walk close to that every day, I would imagine.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you do.
So I think I'll be fine. But, yeah, we'll talk about that some more later on. Right now, I want to talk about the big news that came out yesterday, although we knew it was coming for the last year and a half. It still was a little bit of a kick in the gut to find out that our beloved Universal Amphitheater, now known as the Gibson Amphitheater, is closing down in September. We don't even get a farewell acoustic Christmas to say goodbye to the room.
I love that place. I loved having our shows there.
Don't you think that, I mean, when you have your, not that we have a choice, but whenever a show comes up that you want to see, you're so stoked when it turns out to be in that venue because it's easy in, easy out, phenomenal acoustics. It's hard to find a bad seat in the house.
Yep, absolutely.
It had been around since 1972 is when it opened, so 41 years. They put a roof on it in 1982. Frank Sinatra, by the way, was the first act that played once the roof was on. Everybody played there. Bob Marley, Johnny Cash, Miles Davis, Bob Dylan, David Bowie, Madonna, Elton John, Eric Clapton, Tom Petty, Kanye West, Lil Wayne. Talk about K-Rock bands. Radiohead, Depeche Mode, Foo Fighters, The Cure, Linkin Park, Phoenix, White Stripes, Beastie Boys, Nine Inch Nails, Rage Against the Machine, Incubus, Tool, Jane's Addiction, The Smiths. I mean, it's just a ridiculous list.
It's easier to say who didn't play there, really.
Yeah. But it's weird that it doesn't have the same kind of historical warm and fuzzies that a lot of old venues do. You know, there's nobody who's going to be protesting and saying it should be, you know, historic status like they would if it were the El Rey or the Shrine or someplace like that that's been around a long time. I don't know why that is. I don't know why it never felt like that. I mean, it's a great venue, but it never,
I guess, just
never
the
became
fact
historic.
That it's in the middle of Universal Studios.
Yeah,
maybe different. But was it not making money? Is that why they're closing it?
Well, here's what I haven't. Of course, the reason they're closing is because they're using that land for something that's going to be much more profitable. I think they are making money, but here's the way I was explaining it to a listener yesterday who was so bummed out. How many shows a week or a month do you think they have at the Gibson Amphitheater? Couple nights a week.
A couple nights a week because I drive by their big billboard.
Yeah, a couple nights a week they're using, and they're selling, you know, 6,000 tickets a couple nights a week. As expensive as real estate is, particularly in that part of the valley, why not put something in like the Harry Potter theme park that you're going to be able to make money 365 days a year and sell tickets for 12 hours, 15 hours a day?
So is this going to be separate from the Universal, it's going to be the regular.
My understanding is they're going to expand the Universal theme park and build the Harry Potter park, and I'm not 100% sure whether they're under same management or not.
Oh, I wonder if it's like California. What is that called? California?
Yeah, the California Adventure. Yeah,
yeah, like that.
I wonder too, but I mean, I think this is going to be way more profitable for them, you know, than the concert venue. But super sad, especially for us here at K-Rock, because 21 of our Acoustic Christmases have been there. All 5 of our April Foolishnesses have been there. So obviously, you know, you're going to look around and you're going to see places like the Shrine or who knows where else. The Nokia, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, everybody was asking yesterday at KRock.com and on Facebook and everything, what's going to happen to Acoustic Christmas and April Foolishness? We don't know yet.
We'll do them. We just don't know where.
By the way, I also thought this was interesting in some of the coverage of the building's history. Besides all the comedy that's been there, and again, it's a who's who. Everybody from Billy Crystal to Robin Williams, Eddie Murphy, Jay Leno, Kathy Griffin, George Carlin, Cheech and Chong, Chris Rock, Daniel Tosh, they've all played there. Listen to this list of others who have performed there. Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, the Dalai Lama, British Prime Minister Tony Blair, Pope John Paul II. They've all had events there at the Gibson
as
well.
I had no idea.
So, yeah, it's quite a place. Wow. We're going to be very, very sad to see it go.
Absolutely.
I will tell you that, because it's been a great home to K-Rock events and concerts. And I can't forget all the years that Boingo played there on Halloween, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Including their last ever show. I mean, that's classic right there.
Oh,
so
too bad.
Anyway, we'll miss you guys. That's for sure. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show now.
I don't care.
Well, you're going to, because we've got a pretty terrific show for you today, including a man in the news who was deported from an entire country because he was too irresistible to their women.
Really?
Just too much of a danger to have a guy like that running around, getting the girls, you know, getting the girls all worked up.
Yeah, you can be too pretty. I know
also,
that.
Also, what's up with Florida? It's been a while since we've checked in with our friends in the Sunshine State. We're going to look for your help on ways to tackle insomnia today. Someone in the Kevin and Bean family is having a lot of trouble sleeping.
I think
a lot of
almost everyone does, but this particular person is ridiculous.
Well, she's become a zombie.
Yeah.
She's the walking dead at this point. And frankly, if she doesn't sleep, she'll die.
Yeah.
We'll talk to an author named Adam Shepard, who has written a series of books that are pretty darned interesting. His latest is called One Year Lived, where he basically looked at a map and said, wow, the United States is a pretty small part of the world. I wonder what else is out there. And hit the road and did the most amazing and fascinating things over the course of a year. And he's going to tell us about it. And I guarantee once you hear this guy, you're going to want to quit your job and hit the road.
But then you better write a book so you can afford it.
Yes, exactly. Our friend Cal Penn is going to be on the show today. He, of course, Kumar himself, Cal Penn from House. He's just done so much great stuff. And one of the smartest guys we know. He's got a new series on Discovery. We'll be talking about Dr. Drew on the program today. And we've got some more details on the show that we were so fascinated with yesterday, coming to television this fall, the 1 million second quiz show.
Yay!
We're going to talk to our friend Mike Schneider from TV Guide about that. Is this revolutionary TV or the latest big steaming pile of crap that NBC is going to put on their air? We will find out. All of that. Plus, yes, Depeche Mode tickets at the Troube and Ralph Garman's Showbiz Beat. That's coming up next here on K-Rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean show. By the way, we had the guys from Soundgarden in here yesterday, Chris Cornell and Ben Shepherd, who plays bass for the band.
Yes.
And they did an acoustic version of Fell on Black Days that might be the greatest live in-studio moment I can remember on the Kevin and Bean show.
They were awesome.
Am I overselling that?
A little bit.
Yeah. I agree.
I thought it was tremendous.
It was great, but I bring it up because
if you didn't hear that, we're going to play it for you next, coming up after the top of the hour. If you want to hear some acoustic live Soundgarden recorded just yesterday on the Kevin and Bean show, please stick around because that's on the way. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Bean may be telling the truth, though, because his memory is really effing shaky.
In his memory,
it may be the greatest performance we've ever had. Yeah,
could be.
Absolutely.
Well, who comes to mind when you think about live performances that have just, your jaw just dropped, how great they were
just
in the morning?
So many. I remember Tori Amos giving me chills one morning. I mean, there's been a ton of great people through here.
Yeah.
And they certainly did turn in a great performance yesterday. So stick around and listen to that. Donald Trump and Jon Stewart are at it again. Stewart is awesome. He's always slamming Donald Trump on his show.
As he should.
And Trump is notoriously thin-skinned and will jump on Twitter and try to fire back and just fail. But maybe never as miserably as he did yesterday when he tweeted the following after John had given him a thumping the night before. I promise you that I'm much smarter than John Leibowitz. I mean John Stewart, who, by the way, is totally overrated. So, Donald Trump thinks that by outing John Stewart as a Jew...
Right, because who knew?
That somehow that's some sort of slam.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
That's not even a good insult. That's not even...
No.
But those are pathetic instincts that he has.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know what to do. How do I... I'm going to call him a Jew.
It's embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing. He also then defended his hair by saying it's not a wig. Okay, it's not a wig. It's still horrific.
It still starts at the bottom of your scalp and goes forward.
Trump seems fixated on people's ethnic identity, whether Obama's an American citizen or Donald Trump is a Jew or who's what. But
he's got a lot of darkness in him, Trump.
He is. If he was smarter, I think he'd be dangerous. With all the money that he has, I think he could be a real threat. But luckily, he's just a clown on television now, so it's okay. Mark Wahlberg is willing to do anything to help the victims of the Boston Marathon. Of course, Mark, a legendary son of Boston, he may end up doing something he claimed he would never, ever do. Get back together with the Funky Bunch.
Yeah!
No kidding.
He revealed to TMZ.com that he'd be happy to reunite with the 90s band Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch if it meant a benefit for the injured folks from Boston. So he may be putting on the backwards ball cap and starting to spew some lines with his shirt off. We'll
Ralph, do we have any idea who else is in the Funky Bunch or what they do now?
Dude, the Funky Bunch.
I mean, is he going to have to pull guys out of, you know, working at a gas station or something like that to do this?
There was Bobby Funky, Danny Funky, Louis Funky, and Alan Funky.
I wasn't aware it was a family.
They were the Funky Bunch. Absolutely. Oh, open up a blog, man. And when we're talking about musical families, LaToya Jackson of the legendary Jacksons.
The talented Jackson.
The talented Jackson. The gifted Jackson. The smart Jackson. The pretty Jackson.
Yes.
She's got a brand new reality series. However, insiders are saying perhaps you don't want to take it too seriously because the word is they didn't have enough material to fill out 10 episodes. So they manufactured a manhunt for a new boyfriend for LaToya. Here's the thing. She's been with the same guy for 10 years who's been in the background. So the whole thing was staged for the show. So none of it was real. I'm starting to think that maybe reality television isn't real.
I'm
getting a feeling.
Come on, don't ruin it for me.
Can't they just have her and the boys that want to date her live in an hourglass in Times Square?
That'd be perfect.
And slowly turn it over and over.
Pelt them with trivia questions. And lastly, while we're talking about reality families, the Kardashian-Jenners are in the news. Great story. We now know who may be responsible for getting Khloe Kardashian fired from The X Factor.
It wasn't Khloe?
No.
Was it America?
Well, perhaps. But the person who really drew attention to it was, in a backward way, perhaps, her mother, Kris Jenner. Apparently, Kris was quite a presence on the set of The X Factor.
No.
Constantly talking to producers and suggesting to them that they should dump Mario Lopez.
Oh, my God.
As the show's host and replace him with one of her other daughters.
Oh.
Jeez. Mario was the competent host of the two.
She was suggesting either Kim or Courtney, claiming that the chemistry between Mario and Khloe just didn't work, and one of her daughters would be a better fit. Well, producers apparently agreed that there was no chemistry between Khloe and Mario, and then decided to save themselves some headaches to fire Khloe instead.
Uh-oh.
You certainly get what you deserve. By the way, Kris now is claiming Khloe was not fired from The X Factor. She had to leave due to a busy schedule.
Right.
She was too busy.
Too busy to do her one actual job.
Right, to do the one thing she said. Well, Lisa, she has to pick out colors of eyeshadow for Chroma Cosmetics.
Liar!
So she hated it, she was awful at it, and no one liked her, but she's claiming she left on her own.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays... Spurs center Tim Duncan's 37 years old today. Speaking of basketball, how did those Lakers do last night? Any word? Any word on that
score?
Well,
nope.
I didn't see the final score.
If the goal was to end up with a higher total number of points at the end of the game, that was not accomplished.
Oh, well. Look. It's always next season, right?
Lakers!
Sorry. sir. Didn't mean to bring up a sore spot. Jason Lee, the actor, is 43 years old today. Renee Zellweger celebrates her 44th birthday. Actress Gina Torres, yummy. She's 44 years old. Eric Avery, formerly the bassist for Jane's Addiction, is 48 years old. Andy Bell of the band Erasure is 49. Hank Azaria, a very talented actor, turns 49. Bjorn from ABBA is 68 today. And actor Al Pacino.
Ooh-ah. Oh, that's right. I'm celebrating a birthday. Oh, look at me. I'm 73. Ah. Ooh, ah.
Thank you, Al, for stopping by. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Shot of knowledge. Each shot of Yakult contains billions of live and active LKCI Shirota, their exclusive probiotic strain that may stimulate good bacteria, balance your digestive system, and help you feel your best. Look for Yakult and Yakult Light in your grocer's dairy aisle. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
You woke up today and came into a job where you had to say LKCI Shirota, whatever the hell that is, Lisa.
You don't know about LKCI Shirota?
Apparently I don't. Oh, you have a weird job. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. A lot of great stuff coming up, including our guest Cal Penn later on. What's up with Florida in just a few minutes. And right now, what's up with Saudi Arabia? This is a bizarre story, a cultural festival going on in Saudi Arabia. It is called the Janajava Heritage and Culture Festival, and it was going on this past Sunday. And I guess a lot of women go to the event, Lisa, and that is a part of the world where they have very strict separation between men and women that aren't related. You're not allowed to fraternize with the opposite sex because, you know, then you get dirty thoughts.
Right.
Well, apparently there were three men who were at the conference visiting from the United Arab Emirates who were so attractive that they were singled out, sent out of the venue, and then out of the country. Yes, they were deported for being too irresistible to women.
You know, if you can do it and it's your country, why wouldn't you send out the really good-looking ones?
I don't know what's going on in the world where guys that are too good-looking get sent home because they're going to cause a panic.
That's
so we asked producer Dave, please find us somebody to talk to on this story. And I believe that we have one of those three good-looking men on the phone.
Oh.
Saleh Kamel is joining us now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Saleh. How are you?
Oh, good morning, my babies. How are you today,
well,
my babies?
Good morning.
Yes,
I'm
fine. Right, baby. Shut up, man. Yes, baby. Yes, I can hear your voice that you're already interested in my hairy body.
Well, I didn't know you were hairy, but...
Oh, yes, I'm hairy like camel.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's attractive?
And I also have two humps. Hey,
he's funny, too.
Yeah,
and your last name is Camel,
hey,
too.
Man, shut up, man.
I got some questions for you.
Hey, man. I'm
all
not
right,
talking
sorry.
To you. I'm talking to a lady, okay? I'm talking
sorry.
To a lady.
Yeah,
that's right, lady. I'm funny, you know what they say.
Yeah.
Make them hummus, make them breakfast. You know what I'm saying?
Is that what they say?
No, no, that's not it. Make them laugh, make them hummus. That's it.
There you go.
Okay,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
So what happened at the festival? Did I lay it out correctly? There were a lot of women there, and they were concerned that you were and your friends were too good-looking, so they really came up and asked you to leave the country?
Yeah, so I'm there with Hamed and Khalid, my other two friends. And we come to the festival, and as you can imagine, we're packing enormous packages in our pants. And everyone is looking and saying, oh, are they smuggling pomegranates? And I say, no, my friends, this is my package. How are you? They go, look, yes, that's right. Oh, ha, ha. You smell the Dracar Noir? That is me, my friends. Everyone looks. Every time I come into a room, they say, look at the giant panther in his pants. And they say, I must have me some of that. Is that right? And so we rose. Please.
Oh, wow. What's happening?
Oh, some lady saw me, that's all. Hello, girls. How are you? Yes.
You're like the Justin Bieber of the Middle East.
Would you like to go to the oasis right here? Look at this oasis. Yes, this is an oasis for you. Yes. Come and drink from the fountain of life.
Okay, I don't think you want to get started with that. The commission for the...
I do want to get started with that. Maybe you don't want me to get started with that because your fountain is a tiny fountain. That's what I'm saying.
The commission for the promotion of virtue and prevention of vices. That's quite an organization. Felt that female visitors could fall for you and you were taken out of the grounds and deported from the country.
Yes.
So do you have a lot of sexy time in those countries or is it just you look but don't touch?
I have sexy time in all countries. My friend.
Every
country I go to, I can't resist. Yes, hello,
oh,
girls.
More girls.
Absolutely. Look at my buttocks. Are they not firm? Yes. They're firm. These pants can barely hold my firm buttocks. Look, I'm going to open my shirt a little bit. What do you think?
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, no wonder they threw you out. You're, like, flashing.
To play your cards right, I will carve your initials into my hair.
You're driving the wild there.
Enough of me. That's what I'm saying.
How hairy are you?
Well, on a scale between one and bear. Omar, be quiet.
Oh, you have a friend named Omar there?
That's not surprising.
Everybody in my country has a friend named Omar.
Exactly.
I am a six, I would say, on that scale.
A six.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
The good thing is I can carve a woman's initials in my hair on my chest.
That's cool. Sure.
And it's very romantic. And then 20 minutes later, boom, I get it back and I can carve some other women's initials in my hair.
I love it.
So will you, because it grows fast, see?
Like an etch-a-sketch.
Right.
I take my chest and it just erases. It's amazing.
Will you attempt to go back to Saudi Arabia, or have you learned your lesson? You'll stay away because it's more trouble than it's worth.
No, listen, I'd love to go back. I love that country. We always have great time there, but I don't know if they'll have me back or not. Because I think they're a little fearful. They're fearful of the boa constrictor that may come and make their women fall over.
Right. You created quite a stir, yeah.
And quite a puddle.
Yes. Quite a puddle.
Oh, dear God.
All right. Well, listen, Saleh Kamal, I'm glad you had a chance to come on and tell us about your story. What a fascinating life you lead.
I'm sorry.
What happened now? You seem distracted.
It's Omar, man. He keeps giving me drugs. I can't help myself. I'm going crazy over here. Yes, thank you so much for having me on your show and lady on the show.
Yes.
The important one.
Yes.
Yes, I want something I want to say to you.
Okay.
You and I, underneath the fronds of a palm tree, laying back on a hammock as I massage your feet with unguents and oils.
Oh, that's careful here. Nice.
Slowly, I work my way up your body.
Do you?
Careful.
And then the next thing you know.
Yeah.
I'm selling you a cell phone.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock on a Thursday morning, 6:38. Ralph Garman has tickets for the Iron Man 3 screening coming up a few days before the movie opens. That's later on this morning. Plus, we've got more tickets for you to see, Depeche Mode at the Troubadour. It's insane how small that. I think it's 400 people's, all the Troubadour fans.
Yeah, that's
about right. And it's freaking Depeche Mode. Yeah, who can sell out three nights at Staples Center? As you can imagine, there is quite the demand. But we'll give you chances every 30 minutes to win those all day long, starting at 9 o'clock this morning, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, I got a question for you guys. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida, you retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
We had so many crazy stories throughout the years that all seemed to come from Florida. We thought it was time to start putting them together in one tidy package for you, because it's amazing the amount of news that's weird that comes out of that state. Just amazing.
Yeah.
We're going to start and end with a penis story today. First up is Laquavia Sherelle Wallace, 22-year-old, arrested yesterday for domestic battery after she grabbed and yanked on her former boyfriend's penis during a dispute inside the victim's Tampa residence. Look, everybody's been in a fight with their boyfriend. Is that a strategy now, that you grab his penis and yank and pull it until, what, you try to make it come off? What are you trying to do?
Well, look, if you're arguing and you're naked, it's just there for the grabbing, and you get mad enough and you just grab. I don't really get that.
Wallace had gone to the home of Antonio Marquis Williams to pick up the ex-couple's daughter, according to the Manatee County Sheriff's Office report. Williams told deputies that the pair argued because Wallace wanted to resume dating. However, Antonio did not want another relationship at this time, investigators noted. The argument turned violent when the offender grabbed Antonio's penis with her right hand and began pulling on it, which caused pain for Antonio. Williams defended himself by grabbing Wallace's forearms to prevent further violence. The sheriff's report does not detail what, if any, clothing was wearing when Wallace allegedly accessed his genitals. That's not the police report you ever want to be involved in, by the way.
No, put on some penis. Pants. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. Here's a, I think we've done bad dates in the past here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This one would certainly qualify. This is Donald Bernard McGee, 19 years old, of Hollywood. He was interested in going out with and did set up a date with a woman in Lake Worth. They exchanged text messages and photos and agreed to meet last Friday night. He doesn't have a car, by the way, so he took the bus to meet her at the beach. Well, they had a date, and then they went to the Wendy's parking lot at around 10 o'clock for him to wait for his brother to come pick him up. Well, he got tired of waiting, apparently, Kevin, because he decided to carjack his date. He whipped out a gun, demanded she get out of the car, according to the arrest report. She ran to a nearby gas station to flag down a Good Samaritan. They called 911 as they chased the man in her car down the highway.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Is this one of the craziest dates gone wrong you've ever heard?
Wow.
The man who carjacked his date's car lost control of the vehicle in the grass near the I-95 southbound on-ramp at Yamato Road, according to the report. He tried to run but was ordered to get down by gunpoint. He claimed, by the way, that yes, he had taken the bus to meet the woman at the beach, but it was the woman who carjacked him and that she was the one who pulled out the gun and that he jumped out of the car to leave the scene, which clearly isn't going to hold water because it's not his car. It's her car.
That's completely confusing.
Yeah, that's not going to work
was
at all.
Was this his plan all along?
I don't know. I wish I knew if that was his plan. It's, all right, I'm going to have a good date with her, and then I'm going to steal her car. that's not a happy
no
ending
bueno.
Right there. Here's a bizarre story from the Tampa Women's Club. They held an event over the weekend where they poured out 300 flutes of champagne. Inside each flute was a cubic zirconia. However, one of the flutes contained an actual diamond worth $5,000.
Oh, sweet.
So it's kind of like a little door prize. Everybody gets a drink. One of them's got a real diamond. Everybody else is cubic zirconia. Well, after patrons finished their drinks, the real diamond was nowhere to be found.
Oh, boy.
Thoughts?
Waiters?
Then an elderly woman came forward and said, oh, yeah, I accidentally swallowed the stone in my glass. The woman who asked not to be identified went to the doctor, and the doctor did locate the diamond. Days later, and thank God they spared us the details of how the diamond was recovered, days later, she took the diamond to the jewelry store. It was tested and determined that it was, in fact, the real diamond. There is no plans on what the – no word on what the woman plans to do with the one-carat $5,000 diamond.
I will tell you what they did. She was pooping over a mesh strainer for days.
Yes, that is exactly what happened.
Oh,
how crazy
God.
That the one that gets lost is the real diamond.
Do you put it around your neck?
I don't know what you do with it. And I wonder how often that, if they do that promotion all the time with 300 people drinking with a stone in the bottom, I wonder how often somebody accidentally swallows it.
Yeah, they're not doing that anymore.
No,
that's
potentially dangerous.
Yeah, that's done.
45-year-old man arrested this week after trying to steal numerous cans of deodorant from a Sarasota, Florida Publix grocery store. Now, who goes into a store to steal 10 cans of deodorant? Is there some beer mug you would know? Is he making meth? What's he doing with 10 cans of deodorant?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't know what he would be doing.
Maybe he's just super smelly. It does get hot and humid down there in Florida. His plans for free deodorant were foiled by a store security guard who confronted the man. Apparently, this was not his day as he attempted to flee the store by bicycle. His bicycle chain snapped, calling him to fall to the ground and leaving the axe can scattered on the sidewalk. He is a very sad robber.
Aww.
A, stealing deodorant is not sexy. And B, have a better escape plan than a bike.
At least a friend would have a car, right?
Right. At least that guy who carjacks could help you out. And finally, we started with a penis story in this edition of What's Up with Florida, and we'll end with another one. Here's a University of Florida student claiming he was under the influence of LSD, arrested early Monday after he stripped in front of the police and later struck an officer. He's been charged with resisting arrest and battery on an officer. Around 1 o'clock, officers showed up to the campus club apartments. The man was running through the halls. When police arrived, he took off his clothes and said he was God. Mm-hmm. And he also said to the officers, "Don't cut my penis off." Then, as they continued to try to corral him, the man changed his mind and asked the officers, no, do cut my penis off. He told the officers that he took acid. However, police could not confirm if the man was under the influence of the drug.
Oh, please.
I have news for you. If he's running around naked in the apartment complex begging you to alternately cut off and not cut off his penis, he was under the influence of the drug.
I was going to guess bath salts.
Yeah, that's a crazy, crazy story. Anyway, it's so much bizarre news coming out of the Sunshine State, and that's why on the Kevin and Bean Show from time to time, we have to ask, what's up with Florida?
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
Band is called Capital Cities here on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and the Kevin and Bean Show, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Fun Period, and Atlas Genius all coming up. By the way, on tomorrow's show, Ralph, not only do we have the, what's the guy called? The Naked Castaway.
Naked
not
castaway.
Only do we have that guy. Guy they drop onto an island with literally nothing and see how he survives. Not only do we have that guy tomorrow. Dr. Ken is going to be joining us on the program tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Ken
John? Love
Ken
him.
Ken John from from Community and the Hangover movies in studio. He's in Pain and Gain. So Dr. Ken will be here tomorrow. And, of course, we'll have Depeche Mode tickets today and tomorrow here on K-Rock as well. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I know Ken's wife is a regular listener of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So we want to say thank you if she's listening this morning. I hung out with Ken a little bit at the premiere for Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis' movie, The Candidate, the campaign.
The campaign, right.
So we're hanging up, and we were talking, and Ken said, yeah, my wife loves your show. She listens all the time. I said, oh, great. How about you? And he said, not so much.
So, he's an honest man.
Ken doesn't listen to us, but I know his wife does, so that's very cool. This is an interesting pairing. You know, Broadway musical turn movies now is the phenomenon. It started with Chicago, which was a huge hit. And then, of course, Mamma Mia was a big smash. And then, most recently, if you watch the Oscars at all, you know, Les Miserables was just this Made It Rain awards and nominations on that movie. So the next one they're going to do, Guys and Dolls. Legendary Broadway musical from the 50s, Guys and Dolls.
It was a movie.
It was a movie. You're right, Lisa. Marlon Brando and Frank Sinatra starred in it 5 years after it rolled out on Broadway. Now they're going to revive it as a movie. You won't believe who they're talking to star as Skye Masterson and Nathan Detroit.
I'm terrified to hear the news.
I love this musical, by the way, because I play Skye Masterson.
Did you?
It's one of my early roles.
Are they going to update it or keep it?
They call you Lady Luck, but there is room for doubt. They are not going to update it, at least. I think they're going to make it a period piece in New York City in the 50s with the gangsters and the malls and the gambling and what have you.
But you bring it up because you're horrified by
I'm
the casting.
I'm not horrified.
He sounds excited.
I'm neither horrified nor excited.
Oh.
My interest is piqued. I'm bemused. I think it's an interesting choice. I think it's a bold choice. I think we'll have to see what happens.
All right, let me guess. Little John and Courtney Kardashian.
Good. Well done. Smart. Channing Tatum and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Okay, they're both great.
That's
both
perfect,
and
right?
And Channing can dance, and so can Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, both of them
can dance. They did on the Oscars together.
Absolutely.
Right.
Wow, interesting.
I don't know how they are at singing. I don't know if they can sing or not, but...
they seem like the kinds of guys who
could
do everything.
Neither could Marlon Brando. Couldn't sing in
the
movie.
True. Neither could Ralph Garman, and he played that role on stage.
Don't walk out.
Ralph, come back.
Come on. Come
what? Back. Just say it.
He's great in that role.
I'm just saying, sometimes you make up what you might lack in vocal quality in enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm, yes.
Ralph's back. Not talking to him.
Okay.
I think that's...
I'm not talking to you.
I think that's excellent casting.
Here's bad movie news. Another Adam Sandler movie on its way.
They all make money, don't they?
Yeah, every one of them.
They do. They do, Lisa. And that's
even the ones that we laugh at and go, well, that wasn't as big a hit as all the others. They still make money.
That's why we're cursed. Not only are we getting, freaking Benchwarmers 2. No, he's got something else where all of his friends are
Grown-ups 2.
Oh, dear God.
Now just announced a new movie called Blended, which will co-star Drew Barrymore, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Who did 50 First Dates and The Wedding Singer with him. Here's the premise of Blended. A couple who meet on a blind date wind up stuck together at a family resort with their children from previous marriages. F this. So hard.
Yeah.
Sans lube. And while we're talking about movies, lastly, how about that Zach Braff?
Zach Braff.
Or as Bean calls him, Zaff.
I'm very busy. Very tight schedule.
Kicked off his Kickstarter campaign yesterday, trying to raise $2 million to fund his latest film, Wish I Was Here. He wrote the film, co-wrote the film, wants to direct it. So he's trying to raise $2 million. Now, he's got a month to do it. Yesterday, he did very well for himself, made about $250,000. But that just happens when people find something and it's new and it was in the press. A lot of people talk about it. I'm sure that tapered off. Let's check in with Dave, the King of Mexico, our Kickstarter correspondent, to see what the number is as of right now. Dave?
Ooh, it's big. It's 1460238.
Bingo!
Yeah!
So $1
million? $1.4 million, Lisa.
Wow.
$2 million that he was trying to raise in 30 days, and he's raised it in a little over 24 hours, $1.5 million.
He's got 28 days left to come up with another 500G, and he's his goal is met.
That is awesome. I mean, if he makes more than that, that means maybe he won't have to put his own money in, which would be nice.
Yeah.
That's so great.
It's like people are supporting Zach's idea to make his next film. A lot of Garden State fans out there, I'm guessing. A lot of Scrubs fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they want to have a little piece of Zach's success. So congratulations.
He's very, very popular and very likable and very talented. But I wonder, Ralph, I mean, look, he was inspired because of the success of the Veronica Mars Kickstarter. He told us as much when he was here yesterday. Yes. But now that Zach's done it, it's worked for him also. Is everybody going to do it? I mean, are there going to be 10 of these going on at once now and then 20? Yes. And then it's going to kind of lose its allure because it won't be a hot new thing anymore. And you're going to be back to facing problems getting financing. Right?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah.
Because it's going to dilute the pool and people are going to say, oh, another one. And they're not going to give money. And then it's going to be a failed system.
It's like Louis C.K. when he sold his comedy special, not to a network, but just to people on his website. Everybody bought it. And then now every comedian does it.
You know who's kicking himself now more than anybody else? It's my good friend and partner, Kevin Smith. Because he said to me 2 years ago, he said, I want to do Clerks 3, and I don't want to have to lean on the usual sources for funding. I should go on Kickstarter and raise the money for Clerks 3.
And then he never did.
Well, for a series of reasons, it didn't happen. He was having a hard time putting the personnel together, a lot of the actors from the old ones, and there was deals and issues going on. But he never did it. Now he looks at this and goes, damn it, we absolutely could have done it. We could have been those people. So
the first ones, yeah.
He still could, by the way. He's popular enough. He's got enough of a following. I think he'd be fine.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I think there's some cachet and there's a certain amount of, like you said, energy behind being the first couple of people who do something like this, and then it does dissipate. So today's celebrity birthday is Tim Duncan. He's the center for the Spurs. I guess maybe I shouldn't be talking so much about the Spurs this morning.
Okay, Spurs are not popular in town today.
Jason Lee is 43 years old. Fox announcer Joe Buck.
I'm just
singing the name song. 44 years old. Renee,
do you like him better for baseball or football, Ralph?
I've never heard him do a baseball game, so I'm guessing football.
Because I think he's great at both.
Renee Zellweger's 44. Gina Torres is also 44 years old. Eric Avery, bassist formerly of Jane's Addiction, is 48. Hank Azaria is 49 years old. Bjorn of ABBA turns 68. And actor Al Pacino, 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Depeche Mode at the Troubadour tomorrow night. You can't buy those tickets. You can win your way in from the good old K-Rock starting at 9 o'clock again this morning and every half hour all day long up until 8 o'clock tonight. Every 30 minutes, your way in to Depeche Mode at the Troubadour. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Who's the pretty girl?
This is Christine, our assistant producer.
Hi, Christine.
Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Dave is our longtime producer, of course, and recently we had the opportunity to hire an assistant producer, and Christine has joined us. I don't think we've talked to her on the air yet, but the reason we wanted to have her in today is because she's got troubles, and I think that you had to adjust your schedule so much to start working on this show, and it has just screwed up your sleep patterns, right?
I mean, like, hardcore.
Her sleep patterns before were insane.
Yeah. I've been a terrible sleeper my whole life and kind of a night owl, so that doesn't really work with having a job.
And by kind of, she means, how late would you stay up?
I'd probably go to sleep around 3:30 or 4 in the morning. Normally.
Oh, like, my most night owls mean midnight, 1.
Right.
Right.
This is like you're a musician, but you're not a musician.
Right. You still have to get up and go to work, like, at an office. So that means you're at work by, like, you know, 9. So
how much sleep are you getting a night, Christine?
Now, like, the first week here, I think there were 2 nights I didn't sleep at all. But that was for, like, this deathly fear of missing my alarm, right?
Yeah. Of course.
And so that was the first week here. And then after that, it's been probably about, like, 2 to 4 hours a night. So
how do you feel?
I'm, like, I'm so tired. It's crazy.
Do you find yourself drifting off at weird times?
Well, there was a day, like, I think it was my very, very first day here, where I didn't mean to, but I just sat on the couch for a second and put my head down. And, of course, our lovely marketing director, Aisa, then tweets and Instagrams that photo everywhere.
I saw that
photo. You guys broke me on my very first day.
You're lucky you didn't wake up with a Sharpie penis on your face.
Right, because I did still have my shoes on. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So, Christine, look, you've had sleeping problems your whole life.
Yeah.
And obviously you've tried the basics, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You've tried winding down, not being around bright lights, staying off of computer screens, which they always advise a couple of hours before bed. You've tried that. Have you tried alcohol at night? A lot of people, that helps.
No, I mean, I'm a whiskey girl. And the problem with that is, like, if I drink at night, I want to go out. You know, it's like, that is the one thing that is the hardest thing about this job is no social life, right? But
well,
drinking,
it doesn't sound like you're not having a social life.
That's true.
Slowed you down at all.
That's true. But drinking, for me, is like a going out thing. So it's definitely not a wind down thing. I've tried a glass of wine.
You tried exercise?
Working out at night is awesome, but again, it's
but
it's
that jacks
good
you
thing.
Up. They say not to do it too close to bedtime.
Not
like,
too
you
close.
You need
right.
at least 3 or 4 hours between that and going to sleep.
But if
and,
you exercised in the afternoon, you would probably be tired enough to sleep at night, I would think, right? I mean, wouldn't
maybe.
Know. I'm the last person to ask
but
about exercise.
It's your brain. She physically would be tired, but she can't turn her brain off. That's
Lisa,
the problem.
It's exactly. That's totally what it is. It's like I'm exhausted physically, but like my brain keeps running.
Yeah.
So
you've tried rubbing one out, obviously, right?
Oh, my God, Bean.
Just,
yes. Lady.
Just say yes and let him move on.
Jeez.
We're trying to help
Hello,
here,
good
Christine.
Morning.
Well, I'm trying to get all the basics out of the way because we're going to ask for our listeners to call in with their suggestions
Bean.
Because, look.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Lots of people have trouble sleeping and lots of people have come up with ways that help them. And
right,
there's some
right.
things I'm sure that they have that you haven't thought of that work for them that you can try at 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number here at K-Rock. And that's why I wanted to get out comment to some of the basic things, you know, like exercise and sex and things like that, that a lot of people will say, well, those definitely help. So what else is there? Well, here's a suggestion from one website called 10 Videos That'll Put You to Sleep. And they are suggesting that they have a compilation of these videos of the types of sounds and things that you can look at that will relax your brain and get you more likely to be able to fall asleep. Now, all of these would drive me crazy.
I'm not a big white noise fan either. So,
we have white noise coming up, but let's start with forest sounds. The first video is forest and nature sounds, which apparently, according to the article, there's something about the natural world that is soothing. Perhaps it's the rarity of getting away from civilization. This is a 10-hour video, by the way, so you can put this on and fall asleep, and maybe it just relaxes
Holy
you. Let's
God.
Hear a little bit of the forest and nature sounds. Now, to me, that sounds like a horror movie.
That sounds like your frogs in
yes.
Seattle.
Yes, it sounds like the frogs at my house. I hate. Does that do anything for you, Lisa? I hate that.
No. I'm okay with white noise, but things where the noise changes, that keeps my brain going.
Why the noise got to be white, first of all? And second of all, here's a little bit of that sound that people like.
Well, that sounds like something I should dread.
Yeah.
It sounds like a tsunami hit the
Like, why
doesn't
is that
it?
Scary white noise?
That's like the precursor to something bad happening
yes.
in the movie, right?
I don't like that.
I don't like it.
All right. Here's and there's a warning on this video. This is soft whispering and soothing music. In all honesty, this video will probably creep you out at first. The narrator's soft whispers are a little unsettling, but once you get used to it, you'll find yourself weirdly relaxed. This video, by the way, has more than 50,000 views on YouTube. Most of the commenters agreed that it has helped them drift off. Let's see.
In this relaxation video, we're going to go on a little journey. It's going to be a little different than the other one you might have been on.
No, please.
Don't go towards the
We're all going to die.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, no kidding. I think I'm a no. Another
no
video,
please.
By the way, includes thunderstorms is one, for instance. A lot of people like the sounds of thunderstorms.
Rain would be maybe
Rain
soothing.
For some people. Relaxing ambient music is another one that people like. The kind of stuff they put on if you ever go for a massage or something like that,
mm-hmm.
which I hate. I hate new age music more than anything in the
Me
world.
Too.
I would just be furious. And here's one, and this has become very popular over the course of the past couple of years or so, and it's Samuel L. Jackson reading from the book, Go the F to Sleep.
The cats nestle close to their kittens. The lambs have laid down with the sheep. You're cozy and warm in your bed, my dear. Please go the F to sleep.
That might do it.
Now, you know,
considering
go ahead.
And considering he's Samuel L. Jackson, by the way, that's the most soothing tone you ever get out of him, because usually he's so amped, you know?
Right.
There are theories that we have more trouble sleeping now because of all of the ambient light around us, that we can't get our rooms dark enough, and we have, like, glowing lights and stuff. I actually bought this sleep mask from Rick Steves' website. Uh-huh. It's super comfortable. Like, you can open your eyes, and it doesn't touch your eyelids. Or your eyelashes or whatever.
So it makes it just super dark.
Yeah, and I've been using it for a couple of months, and it's weird at first because I can't see the clock, and that kind of freaks me out.
Right.
So I really have to trust the alarm, but it's really helped, actually.
It's not strange having something on your face?
This particular mask is super comfortable. So, but they also say, like, all the electricity we have on in our bedrooms may be affecting our sleep cycles.
Right. Well, let's take one call before the break. Again, the toll-free number is at 1-800-520-1067. If you have a sleep tip that has worked for you that you can suggest for Christine before she dies, because you do die if you don't get enough sleep.
Yes.
Let's go to Devra. Devra's on line one, and she'll get us started here real quick on the Kevin and Bean Show with something we haven't talked about. Devra, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, you guys. Love you guys.
Thank you.
The best thing, I have trouble sleeping too, and I can't shut my brain off because I'm too smart, is melatonin. It works like a dream. It's non-addictive. You get it at the health food store. You take it about a half hour before you want to go to sleep, and it just kind of soothes. It doesn't pass you out, but it just calms your brain enough to fall asleep. It's
so
bad.
I've tried it. And
oh, you have?
I have. And the crazy thing about melatonin was it put me in, like, twilight. You know, when when you go to the doctor
and
they
have the freaky dream.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're kind of sleeping, but you're still totally awake.
Yeah.
So I woke, you know, you wake up like eight or 10 hours later, and you feel like you haven't slept for 1 minute.
Oh,
it was
okay.
The worst.
That is
that
weird.
Sucks.
I'm glad it works for you, Deborah. What is melatonin putting in your body that's supposed to be there naturally that you're not getting enough of? What's that a replacement for?
It replaces something in your brain. It's like the melatonin is something that kind of your the light, you know, how the light of the sun sets your clock and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the light of the sun is supposed to go down and supposed to get dark, melatonin in your brain kicks in for you to signal sleep.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like you're lucky. It sounds like it works for you.
Yeah, it works for me. So,
fantastic.
Good luck with that.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. What can Christine try next? We'll take your calls after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock for a Thursday morning, taking calls to help out our little friend Christine. She is the assistant producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, and she cannot turn her brain off at night and has trouble sleeping, like so many people do.
Yeah.
We got some great suggestions. We'll just go through them as fast as we can so we can get as many in as possible. And maybe, Christine, you just speak up. Let us know if you've tried it or if it has worked in the past or not worked or whatever. Alex is first. He is on line two, and he joins us on the Kevin Devine Show. Alex, what's your suggestion for Christine and everybody who can't sleep?
Good morning, Alex.
You must smoke a bowl, roll a blunt, eat a cookie, drink some weed tea, get lit.
I appreciate the delivery. Christine, your thoughts on smoking a bowl? Is that the answer you've been looking for?
I don't partake.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told by a lot of people that
would
that's
you nibble
the answer.
A cookie?
I don't know. I don't think I've considered that.
I don't
that.
Recommend it personally.
No.
You know
Lisa
what?
Ended up falling in love with a tree in the parking lot when she tried it.
Actually, after that episode with Lisa, I'm going to say I'm going to pass on that one for sure.
Christine, we talked off the air a little bit. She seems a little more sensitive to drugs than a lot of people are. And so those mostly don't work for her. So that may not be her answer.
All right. Thank you, Alex. We appreciate the call and the great delivery. Liz is up next. She's on line three. Liz, what you got
Hi.
For us?
So my mom used to tell me that, you know, if you need to sleep or you feel restless, like you can't turn your brain off, Seven Blossom tea.
Seven Blossom. What's in that?
Well, I actually Googled it because I didn't know exactly what was in it.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that, you know, it worked for me, but it says it's passion flower, linden flower, rose petals, chamomile, anise seeds, and teal star.
Wow.
Have you tried
any of those herbal teas, Christine?
The only one I've ever done is Sleepy Time, just because it's called Sleepy Time. So I thought that's what that was for. It kind of does nothing, but I'll try Seven Blossom.
Seven Blossom,
yeah,
why not?
So it's like in a little Mexican clear bag, wherever, I guess, they have Mexican stores.
That sounds shaky. Now it sounds shaky. I don't know.
Then you have to get up in the middle of the night to pee.
That's true. Maybe you drink a little bit.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Isaiah. He is on line six. Now, this sounds interesting. Isaiah, what do you have for us?
I was going to recommend, I work at night, so I have a hard time sleeping. So I recommend massage videos. If you go Google and you
look for massage, like tutorial videos, and you watch one, you actually, the act of watching somebody get a massage actually relaxes your body and subconsciously, and then it also causes you to kind of concentrate on that.
Huh.
Had you heard that from somewhere before? Did you just happen to be watching a massage video one day and get super sleepy?
Oh, no. I mean, I was trying to research massage videos and I was going to, you know, learn how to do it so I could give a nice massage to my wife. But then while I was watching, I just started dozing off. And now that I'd realized when I had problems sleeping, I just would turn one of those on. Next thing I know, I would imagine myself getting a massage, and then I'm out cold.
Isn't that interesting? Thank you for the call. I fall asleep, too, whenever I think about doing something nice for my wife. Hey, John writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, when I need help sleeping, I just listen to your show. Ha ha. It's funny because it's mean. P.S. Fire beer mug. Well, that's a pretty good suggestion. All right. I'm going to skip Thomas because I assume you don't have a jacuzzi, Christine.
I do not.
That would probably be awesome if you did, right?
Okay.
Let's go to Vicky. Vicky's on line 7, and Vicky is a holistic lifestyle coach. So this sounds like this might be right in her area. Hi, Vicky. What's going on?
Well, we live and cycle on two hormones in our body, our melatonin and our cortisol. So if you activate, if any light on your skin, I was mentioning to the phone screener that Lisa May covers her eyes mm-hmm. at night, but if any other light is touching her skin, which is also an organ, that it will activate your cortisol, which is your awake hormone.
Yeah, you want to get your room as dark as possible, right?
Exactly. Oh. So any light from your, and it's true, the electricity, all those electrical rays that we'd never had before when in the caveman days, we just went to sleep with the sun, woke with the sun and went to
sleep. So is this kind of a modern day epidemic, sleep cycle problems because of the way we live?
Yes, yes. So one thing she can do to help initially to get to sleep is start an hour and a half before she goes to bed, dimming the lights in her house as dim as possible. If she's going to watch TV, that's going to be a factor. If she's going to be on the computer, that's going to be a factor. But if you can do anything to add orange, like they do have screen covers for computers that illuminate orange, it's any blue light. It's the blue light, which is the electrical.
Yeah, there's actually a program called Flux that you can put on your computer that turns it, the later it gets, the more yellow, sort of orange your computer screen goes.
Lisa knows all about this.
I do know a lot about this.
Like a sleep therapist.
Orange activates your melatonin. And taking melatonin will help, but it's, not foolproof, because if you've stayed stimulated up to the time you go to sleep, then you're still screwed, You could still be screwed, but it's...
But in a good way.
In a good way.
All right. We have to say goodbye here, Vicky, because we're out of time, but thank you so much for the call. That actually sounds like an interesting suggestion. By the way, several listeners have suggested a hot bath as well, Christine.
Oh, okay. I mean...
Which might be worth... I mean, you may be a shower girl, but apparently there's something about a bath that really kind of puts you out, too.
Megan says primrose oil because she didn't like melatonin.
Okay.
I've never heard of that.
So there you go. So wake up!
Hola, soy Kat Von D.
Hello, it's Johnny Knoxville.
Hi, this is Lindsay Lohan, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the world famous K-Rock.
Lindsay Lohan, do we want her advertising our show?
No.
It does not make us look good. Hey, Cal Penn joins us in about 20 minutes, one of our favorite actors and a true stand-up guy. He'll be on the program. Don't forget your Depeche Mode tickets at the Troubadour. You can win starting at 9 o'clock this morning. Well, it is a book Thursday here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and today we're going to recommend to you a book called One Year Lived. The man who wrote it is named Adam Shepard, and he has a fascinating story that is going to make anyone sitting on the 405 right now driving to work extremely jealous with what he's been doing with his time. Adam, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on. The book is fascinating. The overview is that you looked at a map and said, the United States is, we got a chunk of real estate here, but man, there's so much more in the world I'd like to see and not just see as a tourist, but to actually experience. And you hit the road. Am I right?
Yeah, well, I was working doing a bunch of different jobs, sales during the day, bartending at night, and I just had this curiosity that was not being satiated here in the States, and I wanted to get abroad for a little bit. And so I had about $19,420.68 saved up, and I said, I'm going to go out in the world and spend all of this, and I did.
Wow. Well, I mean, right there, that's a roadblock for a lot of people who just aren't in a situation where they could save that much money in order to be able to splurge on a travel. But you've figured out some ways to travel pretty cheaply, too, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it took me 2 years to save for the trip. I mean, I was so in bartending. I mean, I'm a terrible bartender. I, you know, one or two drinks per 5 minutes, but I'm showing all the cleavage that I can. And so for 2 years, I saved as much money as I possibly could.
About how much did you save?
Yeah, so it was a little over $19,000, and that's how much I ended up spending. And then the trick when you're on the road is to stretch your American dollar as much as you can. And, I mean, I went to Central America and Southeast Asia. I wasn't spending as much money. But then in New Zealand, I mean, I just opened my wallet up and just started passing out bills, I mean, because it's such an expensive country. So
yeah,
you
right.
kind of have to be smart on the road.
Did you what did you get out of seeing so much of the rest of the world? Was it what you expected when you left America?
You know, it's funny. You have this perspective on what you think the world is like. We have reality TV, we have the news, we read books, we have great mentors. But actually, you know, stand among poverty in Honduras with these kids. I was working with it, volunteering with an organization down there, and
your phone keeps fading out. Are you doing something weird with your phone, Adam? It seems like you're fading in and out.
I'm not doing anything weird with my phone.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Wherever you are right now is perfect. All right, we apologize for interrupting. Go ahead.
All right, I'm not moving. I'm just saying that the opportunity to see what poverty really looks like, the opportunity to muster cattle in Australia and see, you know, they don't muster cattle exactly like we do in the States. It was a very very unique experience.
And you would go someplace. It wasn't like you were, you know, seeing 20 cities in 8 days or something like that. You would go to a country like Nicaragua and you would hang out there for a month or two and kind of live among the people and really get a different way of life experience, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's how you really get to know a country more than just, you know, passing through as a tourist. You know, you can really get to know the people that are going to take you up a mountain to hike a volcano or, you know, cook traditional food for you. So I think that's how I really got to know a place better than just going from place to place to place and hopping on a bus every day.
I know that you have a busy schedule going around giving talks around the country, and I'm sure people ask you a lot of the same sorts of questions all the time. But do you get the feeling that people just feel like I'm not allowed to do that? Like I'm on this trajectory where I have to graduate from whatever school I'm going to go to, and then I have to get a job, and then I start a family. And people almost do it by rote now rather than stopping and thinking, wow, this is the time in my life when I really could be experiencing something new that'll be a memory forever.
And that's a great point, Bean, because we have this very stiff paradigm here in the United States where you graduate high school, you go to college, graduate college, you know, you work for a little while, you have the 2.3 kids, then you work some more, and then you retire. And I think, you know, to step in New Zealand, South Africa, Australia, Europe, the gap year is an important part of their identity. And so I think it's something that's starting to emerge more into the American culture, and hopefully with 1 year lived, I can kind of inspire that to happen with more people.
Why is it you ended up deciding to move back to the United States?
Oh my gosh, this is the greatest country in the world. And I think, when you travel across our country, you see the good and the bad and the beautiful, you see all the good things, but when you step out, and the rest of this world has some amazing places as well, but I kind of felt the entire time that I was traveling, I was one more memory closer to the United States. I mean, this was just the greatest year of my life, and the entire time I knew that I was coming back to what I feel is the greatest country in the world.
I thought it was interesting in the back of your book where you talk about how all the times you applied for the Amazing Race, they don't ever tell you why you get rejected, right? You just know that five times tried, five times rejected.
Oh, and you don't understand the passion with which I was applying for this show. I mean, and if you apply five times, then you feel, I mean, that I mean, I'm a fanatic, and I love, now I don't watch it. I'm just angry at that show now. But it used to be, I wanted to be on that show, so I was just applying with all my friends and family and girlfriends and 0-5 for the Amazing Race.
Well, they missed out.
We are talking to author Adam Shepard, by the way. The book is called 1 Year Lived, and it's available everywhere. You can go to Amazon.com and download it super cheap for the Kindle, for instance, if you want to. You went to how many countries on how many continents in your year abroad?
17 countries on 4 continents, and one haunting encounter with a savage bull. I fought bulls in Nicaragua, which was you know, I had this list before I started, guys, that, you know, 142 things, I want to do all these things while I'm traveling. And, you know, some of those things were not on the list. And I hiked this volcano in Nicaragua, came down, they had this bullfighting session going on, this huge festival. And so I said, hey, I want to step in the ring and try that.
Well, you certainly figured out a way to step off the rat race that so many of us are on. I mean, I just love some of the details in the book. Like, you were able to read 71 books in the course of the year, which just sounds like the greatest luxury in the world to be able to have that kind of time to enjoy yourself just sitting somewhere and reading a book. Most of us don't get a chance to do that.
He wasn't watching TV.
Oh, oh my gosh. I've been home about 6 or 7 months now, and I have read 2 books. I mean, it really was awesome to get away and to be able to do that. And you're talking about being able to save money. I mean, I was checking out books from my home library in North Carolina while I was in Australia and on my Kindle. I mean, I was getting books for free. So I think that there are those kind of tactics that you can use when you're traveling to really save money and make the most of your trip.
Well, you give some great tips for saving money in the book, and a great way to travel, and a great, just a different perspective to look at it. Not look at it like, hey, I'm going to take a vacation. I'm going to go to this place for a week or 10 days, and I'm going to try to live as close to the way I live at home. That's what I thought was so fascinating about your book, is you were willing to kind of throw all that out the window and go, hey, I want to get there and live with the people and make some friends and really enjoy myself and walk away with some memories. I think you did a remarkable thing, Adam. I'm so glad you had the chance to come on. Again, the book is called 1 Year Lived. You can get it at Amazon.com. Thank you for the time, sir.
Great. Thanks, Ben.
Of course he is, because
he's one of those,
one
of those smart ones.
He's really smart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's got a new show called The Big Brain Theory, pure genius.
Yeah, but he's really smart. Smart. He worked at the White House.
Smart enough to turn on a microphone. More than beer bug knows how to do, apparently.
Anyway, we love Cal. We're very excited to welcome him back to the Kevin DeBean Show, so he'll join us here in a moment. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat now on the Kevin DeBean Show for Thursday.
Yeah, I do. You know what else I got?
What?
Tickets for freaking Iron Man 3.
Woo! Yeah!
You don't have them. That's
true.
I started seeing the first reviews yesterday, Ralph,
yeah.
And some are calling it the best Marvel movie yet.
Boom! Wow. There you go.
How about that?
How you like me now?
From the studio that brought you the Avengers, for God's sake.
That's right. And Captain America First Avenger. And Thor. Thor Dark World looks awesome, too, by the way. Boy, it's a good time to be a geek. It's a good time to be living in the world and be a comic book geek. And now, the world bows at our feet. Now we are the kings. The geek rules the world. Oh, bow before the geek.
I wonder
you
how
want me
long
to really bow?
Bow.
Is that what you're looking
bow.
For?
He
bow,
wants you to
woman.
Bow, right? I wonder how long before we have our first geek president, because it's going to happen, and it's going to happen
Obama's
soon.
Obama's already admitted he's a big Spider-Man fan.
Yeah, he is
he
a Spider-Man fan,
a
that's true.
Comic book with Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's true. So he's the one, then.
Well, yeah, I think he is. I think he's the first of the geek generation. God love him. Anyway, I've got tickets to a very special advanced screening of Iron Man 3 that we're doing at the AMC Burbank 16 on Tuesday, April the 30th. Now, the movie doesn't come out into theaters until Friday, May the 3rd, so you will be amongst the first people to see Iron Man 3. It was just a premiere last night, by the way, on Sunset there.
That's right.
Yeah,
On Hollywood Boulevard.
Looked amazing. The most beautiful woman in the world was there.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. Great picture in the New York Post this morning, it says, is this pompous woman really the most beautiful woman in the world?
Wow.
Big picture of her and everything. Yeah. Salam.
I feel bad for her. Salam. I feel bad for her,
she
too.
She didn't ask for this,
it's not her fault that they named her the most beautiful woman in the world.
It's her fault that she's pompous, though. That is her
fault.
Well,
that is true. That's true. Yeah.
You reap what you sow there, Pepper Potts. listen to me. The villain of this piece is named the Mandarin. Legendary.
True.
Legendary Iron Man villain. So I'm gonna ratchet it up a little bit because I'm running out of tickets, so I want to start making it hard. This is for real comic book fans. The Mandarin, as you all know, gets his powers from the Ten Rings. Right? You know that. The Ten Rings that he wears that have been adapted from alien technology from across
obviously.
The spaceship. Right? Same. You know that?
Game.
So all I need from you to know is to give me the power of each of the 10 rings.
Oh, my God.
That's all.
Are we staying on until 11:30?
10 rings. He wears one on each finger of each hand. It's from, of course, you know, extraterrestrial technology. Each ring has a different power. Just give me all 10 powers of all 10 rings. That's all you have
Ralph,
to do.
Ralph, did you have to look this up or did you know this?
I had to look it up. I knew most of them. I was thinking in my head, oh, yeah, okay, there's that one, that one, that one. I had to fill in the blanks with a couple of them. So.
Well, there's dopey and there's sleepy.
No, wrong, incorrect. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First person who gets through with the correct answer. All 10 powers of all 10 rings of the Mandarin. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to give me. Look, everyone looks up these answers anyway, but I figure this will really get them going on Google. This will really make them work for it. So there you go. Breaking news. Justin Bieber. Police in Stockholm, Sweden have found drugs on his tour bus. Along with a taser. Here's the story, as far as we know. An officer smelled weed coming out of Justin's tour bus when it was parked in front of the hotel he was at there in Stockholm, Sweden. When the bus left the hotel, the cop contacted the Special Narcotics Unit, which issued a warrant to search Bieber's bus. Apparently, the cops did search the bus, which was parked at the Globe Arena where Justin was performing. No one was on the bus at the time. While searching it, they did find an amount of a drug. They won't say which one, but local papers there are saying it's pot, along with a taser, which you need a license for in Sweden when you have one. So apparently no one will be charged because no one was on the bus.
So they can't pin it to anyone specific.
Nice job, Stockholm PD. This is why you don't have your own CSI. That's why there's no CSI Stockholm. Because you guys are lackadaisical.
Hey, did
the
they find
who his... smelled it outside the hotel should have gone in there, guns blazing.
Well, I don't know that you shoot anyone. I don't know that you need to kill anyone for pot.
Everybody who was on that bus. Everybody. Come on, Stockholm. Get your stuff together. Sweden, I say prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law. And if that includes the death penalty, then so be it.
Ralph, I saw that photo, or maybe it was a different one from the one you were talking about, of him wearing the Chanel ski cap.
Yeah.
In the ski mask that goes over his face. Channel, as he calls it, right? So he's getting out of a car with his handlers, and he's got the ski mask on.
Yes.
And he's wearing a fedora on top of the ski mask.
Yes.
He's wearing a hat on top of the ski mask.
Yes.
Is there more of a hey, look at me in the world today than Justin Bieber?
No.
No, right?
He's pathetic. Who puts a ski mask on to protect his identity and then puts a hat, a 1940s grandpa hat, on top of your head while you're wearing the ski mask and trying to be, what, under the radar?
This is
He's
like
a dish.
He was wearing the gas mask in London a couple of months ago, too, for the same reason.
And the Big Bird yellow baseball cap with giant metal spikes coming out of it and no shirt. And that's constant with him.
He's going to regret those photos.
I hope he doesn't live to regret them. I just hope he doesn't live. I think we have an answer. I think we have an answer to my trivia question. Poor Chip. She must hate me right now. She's answering phones, listening to these geeks rattle off the powers of the Ten Rings.
Well, let's find out what beautiful woman is on the phone to try to win these tickets for Iron Man 3. I'm sure she's gorgeous.
Maybe this is Gabrielle. Maybe it's not Gabriel. Maybe it's Gabrielle. Maybe this is a woman. Gabriel?
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, brother.
Hey. How about that?
Ha, ha, ha. We got a girl on the line. That's awesome. All right, Gabriel, I need from you all 10 powers of all 10 of the Mandarin's rings.
Sweet. All right. The left hand is ice blast,
right.
Mental intensifier,
right.
Electro blast,
right.
Flame blast,
right.
White light,
right.
Right hand, black light,
yes.
Disintegration beam,
right.
Vortex beam,
yes.
Impact beam,
yep.
And matter rearranger.
Boom!
Who doesn't know that?
That's how it's done.
I don't want to say Gabriel was Googling, but he called it the disintegration beam.
Disintegration.
You've never
he knows.
Seen that word before.
Disintegration. He knows.
I don't even know what that is.
Those are the powers of the Mandarin. I can't wait to see Iron Man take on the Mandarin. Congratulations, Gabriel. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to our special advanced screening of Iron Man 3. Also, congratulations to Tatiana. Boom. Tatiana, how do you like that, Bean?
Well,
a beautiful girl named Tatiana is also going.
I'm certain that her boyfriend fed her the answers.
Nathan, Jonathan, all winners. Thanks for calling.
Is there any kind of controversy, Ralph, as so often happens with movie casting, that an actual Chinese person was not cast to play the Mandarin?
I have not heard any complaints about Ben Kingsley being cast as the Mandarin.
Okay.
Here's the thing. The Mandarin's backstory, as you know, he is also Chinese, but he's also British as well. So
obviously.
I guess you can get away with it.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on.
No, it's no
race
no
war.
Race war.
Race war's on, everybody!
No.
It's going down! It's going down!
No race war.
Come on!
No race war. There's no race war.
Fire beer mug.
I don't even know if they're going to use the Mandarin's powers with his rings in the film or not. You know, sometimes they make slight alterations, make it a little bit more believable, a little less comic booky. So I don't know if they're going to incorporate all of Mandarin's rings and all the powers that he has, but I sure did enjoy him in the comic books. Look forward to it. Good times. I'll see you there Tuesday. I'll be there, too.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Al Pacino, 73 years old today. Bjorn of ABBA is 68. Frank Azaria.
Or Hank.
Him too. Hank Azaria. No,
I was trying to figure out who that was.
His brother Frank. Frank.
They're twins.
Yeah. He's 49 years old today. Eric Avery, formerly of Jane's Addiction, is 48. Gina Torres is 44 years old. Renee Zellweger is a squinty 44 as well. Joe Buck, Fox announcer on baseball and football, 44 years old. Actor Jason Lee, he's 43 years old. And Spurs center Tim Duncan is 73 years old. For some reason, I was thinking Lakers. I saw Spurs.
If he's 73, Lakers. He really is great. I got to say, he's one of the most phenomenal athletes in basketball history.
That's just how good he is. How many 73-year-old basketball players do you know, man?
Exactly.
Right. Open up a blog. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A couple nights ago, Lisa, I'm watching The New Girl, like I do, because I love me some Zoe. And Schmidt is on, and he's at some sort of a convention for Indian people. It's a dating convention for Indians and Indian Americans. And he gives a little bit of speech to the room.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Hold up. You know, when I came here today, I thought India was a pretty cool country. You guys are obviously smart. You look at the roof of a bus, and you said, that's not just a roof. That's more seating. Cal Penn, he's a genius. Thank you for him.
So I hear that and I go, isn't Cal Penn like from New Jersey? Like, what's happening here? And Cal Penn joins us now on the Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you.
He's some sort of genius that we should be thanking India for.
Yeah, I found out the reason why that made it in there. Because I was like, wait, I'm from New Jersey. So in high school, one of my buddies, this guy named Dave Iserson, we were both in drama club together, and we said to each other, if we ever make it as writers or actors or producers, we want to put into any of our scripts somebody who has made fun of us in high school. Like, that person will be the bully. That person will be the guy that loses at the end. And I'm watching New Girl, and I look at the credits, and Dave Iserson wrote that episode.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait,
does that make you the bully?
No, it turns out. So it was like basically the opposite of that, where he was giving a brother a shout out.
Hilarious.
Nice. I thought it was hilarious. Yeah,
that is so funny. I just it just cracked me up when I saw that too. And by the way, it's to your credit, Cal, that you can be Kumar for all those movies, yet people still think you're a genius. Like, how do you do it, man?
I don't know how I pulled that off. It's all a fraud.
Well, you have had one of the most interesting careers of anyone we know because of what you did, because of how you essentially, you know, put show business on hold to go work for the president of, oh, I don't know, the United States for a while. But now you're back with something completely different that I am actually fascinated with. It is a reality show, is truthful, but it's completely different from anything else. Tell us about it.
Correct. So you know, when I left the White House about a year and a half ago and I came back and I had the chance to work on How I Met Your Mother, and we did another Harold and Kumar flick. And then the Discovery Channel guys approached me and they said, you know, we're doing this show. It's a documentary competition show, reality, but it's not like people aren't going to yell and scream about who they're dating. Instead, we want to create this tension based on getting 10 of America's best young engineers and give them a task every week. So sort of like Top Chef, except instead of cooking things, you have engineers creating insane gadgets.
Oh, that's cool.
Basically to save the day or to save a challenge. I thought, well, this is awesome because this is something that there's this huge explosion in young engineers and innovators in this country. Yeah. It never gets any media attention. These guys are super smart and awesome.
Let me pause you right there to say, is there a huge explosion of that in this country? Because if I believe what I see in the media, none of that is going on in the United States. There's no science, math, technology at all. It's all happening overseas and we're falling behind. Is that not the case?
There is a lot of new investment. So countries like India and China had invested a ton and were kind of at the forefront of this. And I think when I was working at the White House was when I kind of got a little policy background on that. And the president invested, you know, $4 billion in what's called STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math, not just to make us smarter, but that's how you get manufacturing jobs back to the United States. That's how you get, you know, the next light bulb, the next iPhone, but we don't have to produce them in China. We want to be in a place where we can produce them here. The biggest reason I found out that Apple can't produce an iPad in America is because we don't have enough mid-level engineers to be at these manufacturing plants. So that's one of the
biggest. I thought it was because you can make 11-year-olds work as many hours as you want in China.
It's not just that, though.
Oh, okay.
It's the bigger. It's one small. But the bigger reason, frankly, is that. And so I think when you see all of these new initiatives to get people interested in science and engineering, it's from a huge economic component. It's from a competition perspective. And then when this Discovery Channel show was happening, I was like, well, people don't know about this. So how cool would it be if we actually succeeded at getting something like that on the air?
Well, I think it's great for a number of reasons, not the least of which is people know what they see on television. And if people are watching TV and they're seeing the Jersey Shore, that's what they aspire to be, is they want to be snooky, or is the situation, right? Because you're absolutely right. They don't see smart people being heralded for being smart and working, you know, working out ideas. And they don't have role models for science and math, right?
I think that's right. And I think we were kind of going for that with this show. There are 10 contestants. They're all brilliant. They're from completely different walks of life. So some engineers have a design background. There's a dude who's a welder on a nuclear submarine. There's a guy who controls the Mars rover. I mean, these are legitimately...
All ages, Cal?
Most of them are in their 20s. I think there are one or two who are in their early 30s. Mm-hmm. But the point was we wanted to highlight and showcase young American talent and ingenuity.
Now, compared to, you know, the Kevin and Bean show and regular people on the street, you're pretty smart.
I don't know about that.
How about when you hang out with these brainiacs? How do you feel then, Cal?
Incredibly stupid. We would, you know, one of my jobs as the host was to get them to explain their ingenuity in layperson's terms.
Our bridge.
I am the bridge, but I also did not understand the majority of what they were talking about until I asked. And you can see them just kind of look at me and think to themselves, God, what an idiot. I have to explain this to you
like
in layperson's terms.
So basic to them.
Yeah, it was like being bullied by nerds. Which was all, you know, they should have their day, by the way. So I think that was fair. But they did such a great job at explaining it. And I think everyone really enjoyed the cool factor where they know how cool it is to be able to, you know, prevent a package from colliding with something. There was a challenge where they've got to build a shelter that can withstand a hurricane and fires and tornadoes. And so everything's got real world applications. But it's kind of like real life G.I. Joe in a sense where they get to play with all of these cool gadgets and build them. And so they did a great job at explaining it.
Now, the example that you just gave, a bunker that can be built and deployed in 5 minutes in the event of a hurricane, is that a something that exists now, or is that something that they created the idea for this show?
I believe part of it exists. There's a video online that I saw of it's sort of this thing that comes in a suitcase, and it basically within a couple of hours you pour water on it and it's a concrete shelter.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. So I think that existed, but the challenge is interesting in the sense that all of our contestants are sequestered for 10 weeks, so they have no access to phones, internet. They can't talk
to
anyone.
They can't use the internet?
No. So it's really just the tools they bring to the table. So if you've got a design engineer and a welding engineer and then someone who works on the Mars rover, they may not actually have the skills to build a bunker, right?
Right.
But there might be another engineer who they've worked with who has the skill set to do that, somebody who, you know, who might be working in natural disaster response or something like that. So that was part of the creativity that went into this stuff, is they couldn't access any other tools.
But they also have the kinds of brains that make them problem solvers. And even if they don't know how to do something, they're more likely to be able to figure it out than you or I would.
I think that's true. And they also, when you see them in the trailer, it's kind of funny. There are points where they yell and scream at each other just like it was the Kardashians. It's actually very interesting.
That's the fun part.
It is the fun part. But what's crazier than that is when you realize why they're yelling at each other, it's not because somebody's dating someone else's, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend. It's because they genuinely believe that they have the best solution to this incredible global problem. So it's kind of awesome to see people actually have beef about something that matters in the world. And it was really enjoyable to be around those guys.
What kinds of tools were they able to bring, or that were they provided?
There's an awesome company called Wet Design. It's right next to the Burbank Airport. And this is a guy named Mark Fuller who's made all these amazing fountains, the fountains at Bellagio and in Dubai. And so he works on engineering with physics and water, basically using water. He's got 3 or 4 blocks worth of workspace, and that's where we shot most of the show. So
wow.
These guys had access to all of that stuff. You know, they could build or weld or craft whatever they needed. And I think we have some clips of their workspace on Discovery.com. But
let's not fool ourselves that any of them have boyfriends or girlfriends to be stolen. Yeah.
I believe they are all in relationships, actually.
Wow.
Yes. Which is something else for the kids at home. See, you can go into science and still be cool.
And still date, right.
Exactly.
The show is called The Big Brain Theory, Pure Genius. It premieres on Wednesday night, May the 1st on the Discovery Channel. We have much more to discuss with our friend Cal Penn about this, and we'll do that when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on camera. So weird for me, Lisa, to hear you sound like you know what you're talking about. I'm not used to it.
Do sometimes.
this time yesterday, the band Soundgarden was in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got a lot of response from the acoustic live performance that they did for us. They did two songs. They did the new single called Halfway There, and then they did Fell on Black Days, and I thought they were just tremendous. We weren't allowed to put those on the podcast because of music publishing clearance rights and whatnot, but both songs are posted at krock.com. So if you're listening yesterday and thinking, oh my God, I can't wait to hear those songs again, how can I? Just go to krock.com and you can check them out right now. Cal Penn in studio with us now, host and producer of The Big Brain Theory, Pure Genius. It's debuting on the Discovery Channel on May 1st. Here's a clip from the show.
The first challenge is to keep a box full of explosives from blowing up when two trucks collide. This challenge has real-world applications, such as how to better protect a black box recording device in the event of a plane crash. We're going to run this with two teams. Each team gets a truck and an explosives package. But before we get to the main challenge, we're going to start with the blueprint challenge. We're going to see which one of you can come up with the most ingenious solution to this problem in only 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Good luck with that.
Yeah, if I were a contestant, I would just decide to run away from the package.
Yes.
If I had 30 minutes.
Now, are you prepared to actually blow up a truck?
Yeah, we had some teams of special effects folks that were doing it, and it's based on the G-forces that the trucks hit, which is what the contestants actually have to try and minimize.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand the technology that goes into how you tell, but there were people way smarter than us who were doing
it. So you come out of the gate with episode one trying to stop trucks from blowing up. That's how the show is introduced to us. Are all the things, I'm going to see if I can phrase this question in a way that makes sense, Cal. Are all the things that the contestants are being asked to do things that have already been done before in the real world?
No.
Interesting.
There are a couple of challenges that are not that way. They have applications to things like that. So the two trucks colliding, for example, has real world applications. But there's this one of my favorite challenges. They had to build an elevator using only water. They had to go to the Santa Monica Pier for another one and basically create a device that can prepare and cook food for hundreds of tourists. So then suddenly there are all these guys that are super good engineers and have no food science background, and I'm getting nervous going, you know, are we going to make people sick? Or is the food
right.
going to be properly cooked? So no, there's definitely stuff that hasn't been done before. Which
so a copyright cool. could, or a patent could come out of this.
Yeah, I guess so.
Somebody could invent something that then the Discovery Channel would own and make millions off of, and the contestant would go home with nothing.
Right? I assume that could be the case, yes.
Awesome, because that's how it works.
That is how it works.
But look, they get a lot of props.
Yeah, of course. What do you win if you are, you know, last scientist standing at the end of your series?
You win the title of greatest innovator in America, but they also get $50,000.
Oh, nice!
And a 1-year contract to work for Mark Fuller's company, Wet Design, out in Burbank, which for
very cool.
engineers is like one of the
that's
most coveted jobs. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like getting into Apple or Google or something,
basically,
right? It's just
yeah.
like yeah, home run. Wow. What about, because it seems like you're doing a show dealing with explosives and whatnot. Any danger of being hurt?
Yes, and I assume that because it makes great television, there are going to be many clips of me cowering behind other people. Because I was the only one who's an actor. I'm like, this is my side project. This is totally fun, but I have to go back to make stoner movies. So
right.
Not the face.
Nothing
not
on my face. So I frequently cower behind both men and women on the show to protect the moneymaker. But no, these contestants, I mean, they'll come back from the workshop and they'll have weird bandages on their arms, some of them. There's one guy, Tom, who's our oldest contestant and an expert in I think, aerospace engineering. And he got so sick that he had to be hospitalized for a couple days.
Oh,
he got
man.
Because of something he was doing?
No, I think he just got the flu. But because they're sequestered, they're working 7 days a week for 8 or 9 weeks.
Exhausted.
And there's footage of him in the fetal position on the workspace floor just telling other people what to do. Like, that's how committed
oh,
these guys are.
Oh, my God.
So there is an element of dark humor to it, but it's also kind of like, man, what kind of work ethic do these guys have? It's pretty awesome. You've got weird injuries and bandages, and you're still showing
no
up
kidding.
Every day. It's pretty cool.
I'm so happy that people like this exist so that the rest of us can live comfortably. And I've said this on the air before, Cal, and this is no joke, because I'm a zero when it comes to any kind of ability to do stuff like this. If the world blew up and I had to be one of the early settlers to restart the world, and we all looked around and went, well, remember we used to have microwaves? How are we going to get those again? How are we going to get television again? How are we going to build a space? I mean, none of that stuff would ever get done again, I feel like, with the people in the world today. It's just it just doesn't seem like those people exist anymore, but apparently you found some.
There are so many of them, too, and I think that's what the cool thing was. You know, we picked 10 contestants, but it was so hard for Discovery Channel and Pilgrim, the folks that produce it, to find those guys. And there's no shortage. I mean, we were at the White House Science Fair a couple of days ago meeting kids who are in high school and middle school who I think could go toe-to-toe with some of our contestants. So there are so many kids like this. I think we don't hear about them all the time, but we're hoping to change that.
That's awesome.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Hey, are you still keeping in touch with your friend Barack Obama?
I am. He's doing well. We saw him at the science fair. He's,
Do you guys text?
We
tweet.
He's a little busy. Email? He's a little busy, so we don't text or email.
So what you're tweet telling every me, now and then. What you're telling me, Cal, is that the president forgets the little people. Once they're not working for him anymore, he's got no time for
it. I would be weirded out if he wasn't dealing with matters of national security and instead texting me. So I think that's a good thing.
So you're saying if he's looking at his day book and he goes, take care of this North Korea situation or check with Cal, see what he's up to. You think he's making the right choice?
I do.
What do you, before we say goodbye and let you go, because I know you're going to go see the great Larry King after this, please give him our best, by the way. He's a frequent guest here on the Kevin DeBean Show, too.
Definitely will.
What are you going to do next? Now that you got this show in the can, obviously you hope this one comes back for another season. What's your next acting gig?
Definitely. So I just finished a pilot for CBS with Tony Shalhoub, Jerry O'Connell, and Chris Smith. It's by one of the guys who was producing How I Met Your Mother.
Nice cast.
Comedy?
It's a comedy. It's about four guys who get dumped by their wives and move into the Oakwood apartments together.
I know the Oakwoods.
We all know the Oakwoods. We all stayed in the Oakwoods when we moved here.
Absolutely. So that was super fun to do. We'll find out in a couple of weeks if it gets picked up. And then I shot a couple of movies that are coming out over the next year as well. And then I'm starting a movie with Elijah Wood called Late Bloomer over the summer.
All right, you're better than we are. Yeah. We get it. You're smarter, you're better.
Hey, man, you gave me a chance to plug it. I had to plug them all.
I don't blame you. All right, May 1st, 10 o'clock on the Discovery Channel, The Big Bang. Excuse me, I almost called it The Big Bang, which I'm sure is a common mistake. The Big Brain Theory, Pure Genius, is the name of the show, hosted and produced by our good friend, Cal Penn. Thank you so much for joining us,
Cal. Thank you.
Great to see you again, buddy.
Good to see you guys.
Hey, party people, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock for a Thursday morning. Shout out especially to the Orange County listeners that Lisa May and I are going to be in Fullerton on Saturday morning starting at around, what time does the actual run/walk get started? Around
8:30,
9 o'clock, something like that?
We're finding out information.
We're going to be there for the Donate Life Run and Walk, which they have every year. I think something like 12,000 people show up for this thing. And there is a way for you to walk with us. If you want to be part of Team Bean, just go to krock.com or kevinbean.com and click on the banner and you can join us. We are raising awareness and money for organ donor awareness. So it's a great cause. Lisa May is going to be there probably wearing something skimpy, probably a little bit of cleavage is my guess. And we're going to be walking a 5K. So please go to the website and check us out. Let's look in on Dr. Drew now from the HLN show, which I tried to watch again last night, but it was all 60 hours of Jody Arias. What's going on, Drew?
I thought you were into Jody Arias.
Ah, no, that's the other
Kevin.
One.
Yeah, that's the other one.
I see.
How do you get pumped up for another night of talking about that case, Drew?
You know what? It's not so much the case. I've got these great panels of professionals I get to talk to that analyze her and talk about her and think about her, and that's kind of interesting. And then try to figure out ways to communicate material that's kind of not something people are used to hearing about, sort of clinical material, in a way that they can digest it on television, which is hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I guess that is one thing about what you do is you're able to take, the micro situation and kind of expand it out and talk more about the human condition. And actually, that's a great segue, Drew, because there's something I wanted to talk to you about. We had Davey Havok in here from the band AFI, and I know you had him on Loveline recently, and he's written this book called Pop Kids. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
I do.
And he's talking about this kid who I guess is just getting ready to turn 18, and he's obsessed with being famous. Not only does he want to be famous, believes he deserves to be famous. And I know that this is a topic that is near and dear to your heart and that you have written about it and talked about it on television and radio, but you had Davey in the other night. What common ground did you guys find on this topic?
We did, and here's what we kind of talked about, and here's what I know about this topic, is that for the first time in sort of known history, fame as an autonomous motivator has appeared internationally, even in China, as one of the highest-ranking motivators for young people. In other words, if you'd measured in the 1950s what the kids want to do, they'd say, well, I want to have a family, I want to be happy, I want to contribute, I want to raise kids, I want to be a family man, whatever it might be, sort of the usual things that make people happy, and in fact, they're known to make people happy. All of a sudden, they started measuring, do you want to be famous? And it started moving up the scales as not just a common motivator, but a primary motivator. And kids we talk all day about how little that does for anybody and how empty a pursuit that is.
Absolutely. But I think part of what happened before the advent of massive reality television and the creation of internet stars is kids realized that you probably weren't going to be famous because you had to have some sort of exceptional talent or ability that they knew they didn't possess. So at least that was some way to kind of tamp it down.
Or a means to distribute it. Right now, I mean, what sits in everyone's hand or on everyone's desk are these computer devices that have the power that used to be harnessed in a movie studio. I mean, used to require 1,000 people in a bunch of buildings to be able to do what we all have now in our hand. And so kids look at Leave Britney Alone and go, hey, why not me? Why can't I do that? And in a way, they're right. Why not them?
No, you're absolutely right. So what does this do to – I mean, people have always admired famous people. I mean, you can go back, to teenagers in the 50s, you know, squealing over Elvis Presley. There's always been that attraction to celebrity, but now it's attainable to everybody. And are kids today disappointed now if it doesn't work out that way and now they're dissatisfied with what they would consider a more menial job?
That kind of has to be played out. But you'll see, you know, when people are entitled – and feel entitled to getting all sorts of things that they haven't maybe worked for or haven't worked hard enough for, that makes it a tough workplace and a tough family environment. You know, and yes, we don't know how unsatisfied necessarily people are going to be or unhappy they're going to be if they don't get fame, because I think we all know if they do get fame, they're going to be unhappy too.
Yeah, and I wanted to actually – I'm glad you mentioned that because we were listening to that interview with, Farrah Abraham from the 16 and Pregnant and then the Teen Mom. She was on Dr. Phil the other day, and she was – and this was remarkable, Dr. Drew. I don't know if you saw the interview or not. She was attributing most of her problems to the fact that she's in the public eye. Now, can you even wrap your head around that?
No, that's bizarre. The fact that she's in the public eye is the reason she's pursuing the bizarre pursuits that she is.
Right. So, and yeah, she was making it sound like being famous and the reason – look, I'm not a bad person, but people think I am because I'm followed all the time and people write about me and people look at the things that I do and I'm held to a higher standard because I'm a celebrity and I'm under a microphone. And all this stuff that I sense that she went out and pursued because she wanted to be famous.
Yeah. Well, she became famous and then she didn't know how to manage it, I think, is part of the deal. But, hey, explain this to me, Bean. It's another weird part of that whole story for me. You know, I interview those girls, like, for an hour, like, every year or two. I've done it, like, 3 or 4 times with that group of girls. Mm-hmm. People blame me for Farrah's behavior, as though I treated her or as though she's my responsibility or as though that's my show. I stand by that show. I think it's a good show. I think it's having the necessary impact on teen pregnancy. But I don't treat – they aren't my patients. I don't,
no, it's – of course. Of course it's
North
insane.
Carolina. But again, it goes to the sort of the point of how bizarre media is consumed these days, as though it's this world that everybody lives in together. Like what?
Well, no, it's not. But I do blame the show because it seems like, at least in her case, there is no thought of what am I actually going to do with my life other than try to be famous to support myself and my child. Like, she is completely unprepared to do anything else and probably doesn't see that she has to.
Yeah, I don't, you know. That's sort of a – I know that the producers and the MTV go to long, great lengths to try to get these girls treatment when they need it and help them when they need it. But I think it's a misplaced blame on Farrah's part to say this is what caused it or they're not doing that support. She sees more opportunity in the public and so keeps pursuing it. And that's an interesting problem. What do you tell them? No, don't do that. That's not the way to go.
Right, because they look at it as, hey, I have this opportunity, I'm in this position, I might as well. And there are certainly people like Snooki who are probably set up for life because of a few seasons on an MTV reality show. You know, she managed to turn that into a book, and she turned that into a clothing line, and she did something with it, and people see that as attainable. But most of these people, Drew, and then we'll let you go because I know you're very busy. Most of these people, the goal is to be famous. The goal, they never say, I want to become so good at fill in the blank, playing music or playing baseball or whatever it is. I never want to be so talented and so good that the side effect of that is being famous. They just want to skip all the hard work of the thing that they need to do and just go right for the fame for no reason.
Which is bizarre. And a couple things on that. You said, you know, we have always admired famous people. No, really, we've always admired people with very exceptional abilities and talents, and then they became famous.
That's right.
That's really, you're right.
Went.
And one thing my research showed, I have the only published research on famous people. I actually studied a couple hundred of them. And we saw very clearly that if you had a talent, if you're Yo-Yo Ma and you become famous, you're less likely to have the kind of psychological problems and emotional problems and life problems that we see in people that, hey, just become famous. because they're the people that go after it, you know, bet on that as a means to make a living and to be happy, tend to have high narcissistic liability, a lot of trauma, a lot of substance abuse, and then should they become famous, then act all that out. And nowhere does anybody find happiness with fame. And that is the pathetic part about all of this, is that we have lost complete track of what makes human life meaningful, good, and happy.
Very interesting. You can get Dr. Drew in your life in lots of different ways, including Loveline with Mike Catherwood, Sunday through Thursday nights here on K-Rock. Dr. Drew on call is on HLN Mondays. And is this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Is that when you're on? I thought it was all week, Drew.
It's Thursday, Monday through Thursday.
Monday through Thursday. That's at 6 o'clock. The Dr. Drew podcast is available through drdrew.com. The Adam and Dr. Drew podcast also available from podcastone.com. And you're hitting the road, by the way, once again on Saturday, May 18th. Adam and Dr. Drew on stage together at the Napa Valley Uptown Theater in Napa, California. Tickets at drdrew.com. Thanks for the time, Doc. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Kevin. Lisa, thank you, guys. Bye.
Well, that's over. Thanks for the heads up, Muggs. Appreciate that. It's the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock, and your chance at Depeche Mode at the Troub. Tickets coming up in about 5 minutes. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday. What's going on?
Today's celebrity birthdays.
No. Pacino. You got some time, Ralph.
I got a minute and a half. That's
you got some time. Right. You never look at that clock.
I'm the only one who does look at the clock. What do you think we get out at the top of the hour?
How many stories could you have done already instead of yelling at me?
Wow. This is good.
It's kind of a busy
Kevin
show.
Get back, please.
Dr. Drew.
I don't care if you got to bring him in
Cal
an iron
pin.
Lung. We just strap Kevin to a board, do whatever it takes, but just get him back.
Oh, yeah. We run so much more on time when Kevin's here.
Oh, damn it.
Just more people talking.
TMZ says that Justin Bieber's bus had been searched by Stockholm PD, and they found pot on there and a taser. They say no one will be charged because they have no idea who the drugs belonged to since the bus was empty when they searched it in the parking garage.
Is it a black guy?
In the parking garage outside of the Globe Arena where...
Is it a Mexican guy?
How many stories I could do while you're playing audio bits? Armie Hammer, who was in The Lone Ranger this summer with Johnny Depp, which looks awesome, by the way, has just been added to the cast of the Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie.
Oh.
He will play Ilya Kuryakin. Partner to Napoleon Solo, Tom Cruise is playing super spy Napoleon Solo. Boy, I wish Armie Hammer was playing Napoleon Solo and then anyone else was in that movie.
Yeah.
But I like Armie Hammer a lot. I think it's a good pick.
Why don't you like Tom for that role?
It's he's all wrong. Tom Cruise is great when he plays a humorless super spy like in Mission Impossible when it's just about him like rappelling down the side of a glass building. But if he's got to be charming and sort of a con man and lovely with the ladies and all that stuff, he just doesn't
disappear into roles.
He doesn't have the charm. No, yeah. It just doesn't work for him. And Fallout Boy, congratulations. They took a 4-year break between albums, but apparently it was worth the wait. The band's latest studio effort, Save Rock and Roll, debuted at number one this week on the Billboard 200. Right behind it was Kid Cudi's new CD, Indicud. Justin Timberlake, 2020, was third. Blake Shelton's Based on a True Story was fourth. And the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, their new CD, Mosquito, was fifth on the list. The band Perry, Brad Paisley, Lil Wayne, Macklemore and Lewis, and Pink rounded out the top 10. Paramore dropped to number 12.
Wow.
After being number one last week. That was
That's a surprise.
Big drop. Oh, that makes me sad, because I love Helly. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tim Duncan of the San Antonio Spurs. He is 37 years old today. What was the final score last night? Did they win?
Not good for the Lakers.
No, it's not good?
No.
Jason Lee was 43 years old today. Renee Zellweger is 44, as is actress Gina Torres. Andy Bell of Erasure is 49 years old. Hank Azaria turns 49 as well. Björn from ABBA. Turned 68, Al Pacino's 73. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Congratulations to Brittany Navarro from Fullerton. Just won her way into the Troubadour tomorrow night to see Depeche Mode. She is the first of many winners today here on the World Famous K-Rock. You got your chance to win tickets every 30 minutes or so keep on listening. Ralph, are you excited about this conversation we're about to have?
I love Mike Schneider from TV Guide. He's got his finger on the pulse of television. I find out more stuff from TV from Michael than I do almost anybody else, and it was from Michael that I found out about the million-second quiz from NBC.
Me as well. You should definitely be follow him on Twitter at Franklin Avenue. Hey, Mike, how are you, man?
Party people, how's it going?
Hey.
Good, Mike.
Well, the million-second quiz, I had to look at my calendar to make sure it wasn't April Fool's Day because it sounds like a joke television prize. It sounds like somebody, as Ralph said yesterday, it sounds like somebody is making a parody of every reality show rolled into one, but it's the real deal. And for people who weren't with us yesterday, Michael, tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is a mix of Big Brother meets Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with a little David Blaine thrown into the mix as well. They're hoping to make it sort of this big sort of event live TV show for 12 days in September leading up to the launch of the fall season.
Yeah, this is going to be their big kickoff for the fall season, right? This is going to get all the eyes back on NBC because we're going to want to watch the Million Second Quiz, right?
Well, you know, I'm going to be in this weird position of kind of defending it in a way because I'm a fan of just live ridiculous event TV and I think the networks need to be doing more of this, even stuff that sounds a little ridiculous on paper, just to at least make some noise, do live TV. You know, the only thing that's working now on TV is live. It's live sporting events. It's shows like The Voice and that's the only way that you're going to be able to combat things like Netflix and Amazon.
Yeah, but Michael, the shows you mentioned, sports and The Voice, those are people doing things as opposed to people living in an hourglass asking trivia questions.
Right. They are going to be living in an hourglass. They're going to be sitting in a big chair.
Right. This is what I'm saying. What difference does it make if that's live or that's on tape?
Because who knows? Maybe strange things happen when it's live.
They're living in an hourglass.
Don't you have any problem, as we do, with just the name of the show being the Million Second Quiz? Already sounds like you're junking up something and making it way more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah, it's you know, million seconds, it's 12 days, and I think that's the thing. They wanted to make it a big 12-day event.
Why'd they call it the 12-day quiz?
Because it's not as catchy, I guess.
Because million sounds like it's a lot, because it must be important, because there's a lot. They should call it the 2 million semi-second quiz.
Now, go ahead, Michael.
If Farrah Abrams hosted, would you be in?
Oh, now we're talking television. I'd like to put her inside an hourglass for forever, frankly.
With no air, right. Now, one of the things that they're making a big deal about in all the press materials that I've seen from NBC on this show is that this is going to be the most social interaction I could ever experience watching a TV show. What are they talking about here?
Well, I think what they're talking about is there's actually going to be opportunity for anyone basically coming off the street to end up on the show. They're going to be playing the game online, and if they sort of actually win, get to a certain level, they'll either just be able to show up and get in the game or fly out and be a part of the game. So I think their hope is just people will play it and immediately be flown to New York and suddenly be a part of it. So it's an opportunity to kind of, you know, one day be watching the game and the next day actually being on the game.
So instead of having contestants they can actually vet and interview and find out if they're interesting or not, they'll just put anyone on this show.
If you get to a certain level, I guess, you win some answers.
It's a horrible idea, Michael.
isn't there a point where, and Ralph made an excellent note on this yesterday, that the shows that have been successful are the ones that have simple concepts. Like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is a simple concept. The Voice is a simple concept. This one just sounds so, it has like so many elements to it that it sounds confusing. It makes me not even want to watch because it's too complicated.
Yeah, and my guess is once we see it, we'll maybe be able to understand it a little bit more. But you're right, it does on paper, and I had a hard time in writing this story and actually kind of describing it because I'm still kind of getting my arms around it as well. And I think part of the problem is you can't just do a simple show if you want to make noise. It's got to be sort of big and obnoxious and sort of outlandish in order to attach any attention. But on the flip side, that means that it's kind of harder to explain. So
right.
Hopefully, we'll when we see it, we'll know what it is.
Hopefully they'll get Nick Cannon to host, though, right? That's what this needs.
You know, that's a good possibility. But he'll be hosting America's Got Talent at the same time.
Now, so, Michael, Paul Telegi of NBC announced this show and said it is a genre-redefining spectacle. If it doesn't redefine the genre of reality television, shouldn't we be allowed to kick him in the nuts?
Well, you know, that's executive speak. They get excited about their show.
Well, this is DJ speak, and I would like to kick him in the nuts if it doesn't redefine the genre.
You've been covering television for a long time. Yes. What's your best guess on whether this is going to be successful or not? We have a terrible track record on this show. Look, we didn't think Dancing with the Stars was going to work, okay? So what the hell do we know? But what about this? Do you think that this has a chance, Michael?
Well, listen, the odds are stacked against it. You know, what, like 80% of shows fail, even more, maybe 90% of shows fail. So it's tough to make any sort of noise, get any sort of attention, especially at the end of the summer when no one is watching TV. So that's why, you know, I think other networks are going to start to do this kind of stuff, too. They're so desperate at the end of August to get any sort of circulation on the air that they need to do sort of crazy, outlandish, loud stuff in order to get any sort of attention back there. So, you know, I hate to tell you guys, but I think we're going to see more networks doing this. I bet you Fox is already you know, putting together a copycat version of
the Million in 1 Second Quiz.
Exactly.
But Michael, all the bells and whistles and all the attention that these networks do to get attention to shows, all the stunts and all the publicity, it very rarely translates into a show being successful or not.
You know, you're right, and also part of the problem is even if you do have eyeballs tuning in, it doesn't mean that they're going to see the promos for your new shows, and it doesn't mean that they're going to show up 2 weeks later to see the season premiere of say, Revolution or something like that. But, you know, they got to try. It's tough being it's hard out
it's
there.
It's tough business. Yeah, absolutely. And I just think we're getting ever closer to all those crazy clips of Japanese game shows on YouTube where they're, you know, basically putting fish in their pants and getting shocked by, you know, the electric chair if they get a question wrong. I mean, those shows are insane.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think they should be doing this kind of stuff on Saturdays. You know, they run just repeats on Saturdays, and honestly, they run repeats in August and September as well. Yeah. So to me, it's like, you know, original, like, outlandish, ridiculous programming versus just another repeat. Well, you know, at least take a shot with something ridiculous as opposed to just throwing on another SVU repeat where you know that there's only a certain number of people who are going to tune in and watch that.
Right.
Michael Schneider is the LA Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine. You should be definitely following on Twitter. He breaks a lot of scoops, too, at Franklin Avenue and, of course, TVGuide.com. Thanks for the time, man. We enjoyed it.
Absolutely, guys.
Annie Brewster from Los Angeles, your friends all hate you. You just won your tickets to see Depeche Mode at the Troubadour tomorrow night. You get them for every 30 minutes here on K-Rock all day long from now until 8 o'clock. So keep listening for your next chance to win coming up at 10 o'clock. Ralph Garman, we ran out of time last hour for you. But this hour, as much as you want. You can go for 2 hours if you want.
See Nashville?
You can go till noon if you want.
See Nashville where the episode where Connie Britton's characters, Raina James, her two girls sang that song on stage
they
during the sound check.
So good.
Wasn't that adorable?
I watched
they were
it
amazing.
Twice. They were awesome.
I think I like that version better.
I know, me too.
And this one.
They're so talented.
Very, very cool. American Idol, I'm happy to say, is having its worst week ever. Struggling. Last week, the new edition of American Idol was beaten out by
New edition was on American Idol?
The new episode of American Idol was beaten out by the repeat of The Big Bang Theory. A rerun of Big Bang Theory beat out American Idol. So, needless to say, they're scrambling over there at Fox, and the producers are having a woeful time trying to figure out how their cash cow got broken and how to fix it. One rumor was that they were trying to boot Mariah Carey mid-season. Get rid of her because she's such an awful judge.
Yeah.
Is she not good? I've not seen 1 second of her.
Now, the complaint is that she never really judges anyone.
Nah.
She just says, oh, that was great, and says something. She's boring and not insightful at all. So they were trying to get rid of her, according to insiders, and bring back Jennifer Lopez.
Who people were glad to see her go because she didn't bring much to the table, right?
I guess they figured the mix-up, the shake-up would at least bring eyes back to the
show. But
they
paid her so much money to do it.
And reportedly, Mariah Carey threatened litigation if they tried to get her off the show because she did have a contract. So
yeah.
They changed that idea, but they may be looking for new judges again for next season to try to get some people watching that show again.
So maybe they don't need that show anymore.
Yeah. Maybe people were tired of that show.
How about that?
Exactly. That's my point is, let's be realistic. Name the best television shows in history. All of them went off the air at some point. Then shows don't last forever on TV unless they're 60 minutes. That's it.
And something that's so novelty-based like American Idol, which
right.
is really does not sustain.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have an amazing crop of talent every year to put on there, and that's just not the case. And
yeah.
the show has
right.
gotten bloated and watered down. They got greedy, and they started running everything was a two-hour episode, and just people got tired of it. Survivor has the perfect plan. They're not getting the huge like pop culture phenomenon numbers they were at the beginning, but their ratings are really, really, really strong.
because it's a tight 1 hour of well-done reality show television.
Absolutely.
And that's it. And this thing has become a victim of its own success. They thought they could do no wrong.
Right.
So they cut out all the bad ones. Remember all the people we used to make fun of the auditions? We loved that. They said, no, we don't need that anymore. We're better than that. And they started blowing it up and more product placement. They made it more bloated and gooey and just awful. And then people started turning on it and not turning back. So they get what
they
deserve.
You have to do better.
They got what they deserve. So should Justin Bieber. The pop scrotum has gotten in trouble in Stockholm, Sweden. The cops searched his bus and found pot and a taser on board. Apparently no one will be charged because they have no idea who was in possession of the drug since the bus was empty when they searched it. Justin was in the Globe Arena and the bus was parked outside. A cop apparently smelled weed coming from Justin's bus when it was parked in front of the hotel where they were staying, and so he alerted the narcotics unit and they issued a warrant and searched it. And by the time they got on there, no one was there, but they did find some weed and a taser. Sweden does not sound like they have like a crack cop force there.
No.
So, did you go in the bus? No, I called you. The narcotics unit, and they will go. They'll search the bus. But you smell it now. Why don't you go on the bus? No. Look, I'm really here. I'm tired here. I'm sitting here reading this paper. So maybe someone else should do.
I think you're right. There's no CSI Stockholm in our future. That's what do you suppose they're using a taser for, by the way?
I'm assuming they were tasing the monkey before they
brought that's Germany. So sad.
I'm guessing. Why else? And this is sad, sad news. You know our girlfriend from Delta Gamma? The sorority girl who wrote that email to all her sorority sisters at the University of Maryland.
Yes, they're
absolutely
not being social enough.
Who apparently they were not doing what she wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not being social enough with all the guys at Sigma Bite Me or whatever that the fraternity was that they were supposed to be involved with. And she wrote that hilarious email about how sorry they were. And she went, I will effing assault you and I will C-punt you. Remember?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, she's gone. Delta Gamma stepped in.
Well, they had to. They
took
had
out
no
one
choice.
Of their own. Heard it was a...
Did they kill her?
Yeah, SEAL Team 6 kind of deal.
Wow.
Double tap right to the dome.
Sororities are powerful.
Dumped her in a pit full of lye, dissolved her body, and then that was the end of it.
It was...
Bitch got no class.
It was remarkable at how many expletives she was able to fit into one letter.
She was a charming, delicate young lady, and college junior. They say it's regrettable that her personal email is now on view for a global audience, and as all reasonable people can agree, says the Delta Gamma chapter, this is an email that never should have been sent by its author, period.
Well, that's for sure.
I don't care what you blame it on, period, no period, I'm saying. Not that she should not have been writing that email with that attitude. I don't care for it.
I will tell you that you owe it to yourself to go to the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup at KROQ.com and see our friend Allison Hayslip, who reads brilliantly. She reads that sorority letter.
It's a great performance.
Brings it to life, doesn't she?
Yeah. Can we have an update on Zach Braff's Kickstarter campaign, Dave the King
Absolutely.
Of Mexico?
Absolutely. Trying to get his new film going, yeah.
Our Kickstarter correspondent, Dave the King of Mexico, we asked him to do it because he has a very unique way of reading off dollar amounts.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, what's Zach Braff and his new movie, Wish I Was Here, looking for to make $2 million in 30 days? What's he up to now the second day in?
It is currently at 1517608.
All right.
No, we didn't want your social security number, Dave. We were wondering how much money has Zach Braff made?
Over $1.5 million. Let me translate.
In 2 days.
In 2 days. He was
That's
trying to
amazing.
Get two. He was trying to raise two. He's got 28 days to raise $500,000 now.
So happy for him.
Now, yeah. Is it going to end up being like you told us the Veronica Mars people, the more money they made, the more they realized they could spend on the movie and
yes.
like locations
right.
and things like that? I wonder if it's going to be the same case with Zach's film.
They expand the production to match the budget that they have. So.
Yeah, that wasn't all the money he needed. He was going to have to get more.
Yes.
But
he just was hoping that the majority of the budget would be provided from an independent source, so you wouldn't have to kowtow and sort of listen to anyone else.
And change
rules.
Things, yeah.
And I think this goes a long way to say something about being a nice person, because I think that's a lot of the appeal for Kristen Bell's Veronica Mars project and for mm-hmm. Zach Braff, who people fell in love with from Scrubs, is that they're genuinely decent people, they're nice people, they're not Hollywood douchebags, and I think their fans recognize that and want to help them out.
Yep. And also, I think it comes from the fact that on the internet, all things are possible. You can be on the internet for any reason, and people will respond to it. Case in point, remember our buddy AJ Clemente?
Yes,
AJ
I sure
Clemente.
Do.
Horrible, horrible newscaster, as far as anyone could tell, got fired the same day he went on the air in North Dakota because the first words out of his mouth were effing S.
Yes.
Fired the same day. And even when he wasn't cursing, he was awkward and inarticulate and just seemed like a big loser. And everyone kept saying,
he wasn't good enough to do weekends in North Dakota.
Right.
That job was out of his grasp.
Right. So anyway, he was on David Letterman last night.
Of course he was.
And now he's gotten a job.
No.
He was just booked over in the Live with Kelly and Michael show. You know Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan?
To do what?
He is going to be doing red carpet interviews for them.
No.
At the New York City premiere of Pierce Brosnan's new movie, Love is All You Need, he'll be interviewing the celebrities and doing interviews on the red carpet for the show.
Is he their new beer mug?
Well, no word on whether the job is permanent or not, but they are giving him a shot to go down the red carpet and do interviews. And then they're
I mean, for badness.
They're going to film those interviews. I don't know. I don't think they do a lot of stuff for badness over there on Kelly and Michael. I think they actually try to put together a good show,
How
unlike us.
That is fantastic.
Oh, my God.
So, is he giving up on the idea of being a news anchor? Because celebrity red carpet interviews are not the way to be taken seriously as a journalist.
I think he wants a job,
I think he wants a job, yeah. I think he'll do anything that raises his profile and puts him on television.
That's hilarious.
Unbelievable.
He could have done 20 years in North Dakota as the anchor of the afternoon news and not gotten anywhere. And
nope,
by
you're
failing,
right.
By failing on there, he was able, now he's on Letterman last night, and now Kelly and Mike.
Wow.
Today's show
awesome.
Yesterday. And there are hundreds of people out there really working hard to be great journalists and great broadcasters who are just trying to get their foot in the door.
Yes, like Beer Mug. Like Beer Mug. Guys with talent, guys with all the right chops, all the right attitude, the looks, everything. Like Beer Mug.
And just don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99.
Right.
Peace.
Look, listen to those mad skills. Why can't he get anywhere? Why is he stuck behind a console pushing buttons?
Where's the outrage there?
Where's the outrage indeed?
Let's try to get Beer Mug, AJ Clemente's old job in North Dakota. Let's send Beer Mug out there to do
like
the weekend news.
Epic S.
He can do that.
Gay. Today's celebrity birthdays, Al Pacino.
Oh, Al Pacino celebrating a birthday. Oh. How about get a load of me? I'm 73 years old, and I'm still banging hot chicks.
See his girlfriend?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Oh, man, she's pretty hot.
Yeah. That's granddaughter, though, the one you're talking about from the red carpet from the Phil Spector movie, right?
Girlfriend.
Oh.
Bjorn of ABBA. He's one of the bees in ABBA.
Yeah.
He is 68 years old. Hank Azaria is 49. Andy Bell of Erasure is 49 years old. I left Andy out of one of the showbiz birthday roundups, and someone got very upset with
me. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't know there were that many Erasure fans still out there to put up a stink. Eric Avery, formerly of Jane's Addiction, is 48 years old. Gina Torres celebrates her 44th birthday, as does Renee Zellweger. Joe Buck, announcer for Fox Sports, is 44. Actor Jason Lee celebrates his 43rd birthday today. I miss My Name is Earl. That was a funny show.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph, and thanks to everybody for listening to today's Kevin and Bean Show. I think we've got a good one for you tomorrow. How about Dr. Ken Jeong is going to be in studio with us tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour.
Awesome.
He, of course, one of the stars of Community and also the Hangover movies. I love him. He's in that new Pain and Gain, that new Michael Bay movie he'll be talking about. Ralph, are you familiar with Zombieland, the new series, the new pilot anyway, that's being shown on Amazon.com?
Two of my best buddies, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, created Zombieland. They're doing the
series. No way.
Now. Yeah. They created the Joe Schmo Show.
No way.
And they went on to write the screenplay for Zombieland, and now they're creators and executive producers of the new TV version. Yeah.
Well, then you know Kirk Ward, then. He's one of the stars of Zombieland. He's going to be joining us on the program tomorrow. Also, Ed Stafford. He is the naked castaway. He's got a show where he screws Survivor Man in Bear Grylls. You drop him down.
Sorry, does what?
He screws Survivor and Bear Grylls on an island.
On TV?
Yes, it's
on TV. What I mean is screw by forget those guys because they at least have a backpack full of tools. He shows up with nothing and survives.
Yeah, but
that's
not his
deal. Interesting.
But there's a lot of man ass on this show. You have to know that going in.
I'm a little bit afraid of that, actually. And of course, tomorrow is your very last chance to win Depeche Mode at the Troub tickets. We've got them for you all day long until 8 o'clock tonight. And then tomorrow we'll have your very last pair right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K Rock.
Tickets for Jenny not included.